This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hello, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show. It's Clayton right here alongside Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and, of course, Marnie Ryer.
At her leisure.
Yeah. She serves at her own, what is it, when you serve on the...
That would be at the pleasure of the king.
The pleasure of the king. So she serves with the pleasure of Marnie.
As she should.
She gets her whenever the Subaru gets her here.
I'm going to find a microphone to talk into. I just breathed out loud, and there was nothing there.
Kat and I were saying just moments ago, she didn't think it felt like 2 weeks, and I think it's felt like longer since we've been here. It's just, I don't know, so much of the world has changed, and things have happened that, it just feels like forever since we've all been here together.
I know, my computer has forgotten my name. I don't have a username for,
The chat room?
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find
either
it.
Either that or I just said hello 19 times. Nope, there it is.
Got
I've
it.
Trying to say hello for like 2 minutes.
Okay. Well,
and I found that the problem was I didn't have a username.
Oh.
So it was like, no, you will admit to all this. Drew is here and Harrison and Tomo and your mom and
everybody
someone named Kat Carlson. That sounds exciting. Hope you meet her.
Yeah.
I've heard of her.
Lovely. And I don't fully remember because I haven't...
Drink.
I haven't posted last week's show. And by the time you hear this, that show will have been posted. But... I don't remember.
And it'll be fresh to all of us.
Oh, I'm sure, because I've forgotten.
And our adoring fan will be excited.
But somehow I remember that I was in charge of getting Pop-Tarts and a toaster for the studio. So we have the new toaster.
Oh.
And now we have strawberry and blueberry. I didn't see raspberry in the lineup at the store, so I just got those two. But I figured that's enough to start
it. It is.
Fine
it
choices.
Is.
Yeah. And I also found out while in my travels to Missouri, my cousin, they had the... the store brand version of the Pop-Tarts, equally as crack. They're just as good as the Kellogg's.
We accidentally found them in Puerto Rico, and I didn't, because of the clever packaging,
yeah.
And I think they were called, like, Pop Darts or something,
yeah.
Or Poop Tart. It wasn't until, like, day four of, like, looking at them in the cupboard that I realized it was an off-brand.
Oh, gotcha.
I certainly wasn't in the store, and it wasn't while shoving one in my mouth one evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, look at that box. That doesn't say Pop Tarts at all.
What's in there?
But it was mixed berry, so they weren't even pretending to have their blueberries or strawberries.
I did almost get a box of the mixed berry or the wild, whatever the hell, some berry. I don't know what it was, but I'm like, what's got to taste just as lovely as these artificial flavors.
Like you put a gun to my head, I can't tell the difference.
No, who can? No, just color. That's
it. Warm sugar.
Yeah, and this one's blue. That one's red. That's it.
There was a tea when the living room was open in San Diego on University.
Mm-hmm.
That coffee, it was the coffee house back when coffee houses were big and comfortable and you could live somewhere small and just bring your friends to the coffee house and entertain. They had a raspberry tea.
I remember those days.
But it was a warm raspberry tea, and it really did taste like a pop. Like, if you got a scone with it, it was like, this is like eating a Pop-Tart.
Oh.
Different ways that I have found Pop-Tarts in my life.
We're learning more and more about the Pop-Tart and how integral it is to life itself.
To me staying alive.
Missy Al and the tart culture.
Well, I think about every...
Culture of Tarts.
Ooh, that's my new band name. Yeah.
I keep thinking that every time I make... If I ever make toast or I have toast, I always think of you, and I think I shouldn't eat toast. Because that's your doctor said that you need to live on something more than water or coffee and toast
coffee,
or something.
Coffee, toast, and gallons of milk at a time. Those aren't diet choices, but it's delicious.
There's all good choices. If you put butter on that toast...
Of course I did. I'm not stupid.
Or a jam of some sort. Oh, it's all good.
Oh, a jam, and then you get a whole new food group.
Oh,
yeah,
because you're...
Then you're back to fruits. Then you're... Exactly. Come on. Then you're winning.
Oh, processed sugar. You are helpful.
And if you bring, like, a loaf of pumpernickel into my house, you might as well just bring crack over. Because I'm just going to sit there at the toaster and toast it, butter it, eat it, and
it's right,
gone.
Until it's gone.
Yeah, there is no portion
control.
And
then wonder if
control.
There's more.
Yes.
You going to bring more? Hi, Marnie.
Marnie Ryer.
She has arrived.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Oh.
So far in this show, her name is Marnie Ryer.
Okay.
We don't know.
We don't know.
That could change by...
Allegedly.
Any moment.
back.
Will Camone. Yes, we were just talking about it. It seems like forever.
It really does.
Actually, Kat said it didn't feel like very long at all, but I think it feels like forever.
Blink forever. It's gone.
And I was 2 weeks ahead as well.
That's true. Actually, you have missed a full 2.
We haven't seen you since the summer.
I feel like I need to, like, touch faces.
We have.
But don't.
Oh, I'm not going to.
Resist the urge. Like resist the urge.
Resisted.
We'll have a telethon for you if that feeling comes back.
Well, this got weird.
No more weird than
always.
No more weird than normal. Where's all your shit, Meyer? What's your name?
Oh, fuck, already?
I just completely forgot. I almost said Crier. Where the hell is that coming from?
John Crier.
I don't know about the thing. Oh,
I'm Ducky.
So you're saying you are.
You are Ducky.
I'm the Duckman.
You got a what's the H for on the hat? Is it H4 Hollister or is there something else?
Hilfiger.
Oh, it could be Hilfiger.
Sure. Or Henderson.
Oh, God.
It went back to.
Oh, my Lord.
It's whatever you want.
How is she? How
She's
is her
well.
Name?
She's doing well. She said to say hello, and please make it a good drinking word, because she needs some cocktails.
Oh, is she out of school right now?
No.
Oh.
Conferences.
Conference week. Parent-teacher conferences, or how teachers get to alcohol fast. A.K.A.
Yes.
This is the week I become an alcoholic. All right. I will work on our drinking word now, though. Good day to you all.
Oh, good. Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, Tomo in the old chat room. Oh, by the way, hi, Harrison. And
oh, no. Actually, I'm going to use the one I've had stored up for like 6 weeks.
Tomo. he says Pop-Tarts are way better than scones, and I'm going to go with you on this. But,
oh, yeah.
But, Tom, if you will, remember, if you will, I don't know if you can actually get the, and I'll hold this up if you can see it, because I don't know if you're watching. These are the actual Kellogg's Pop-Tarts. If you want a box of them, you need to email me an address, and I will somehow, through customs, get you a box of Pop-Tarts.
They don't allow a lot of produce through foreign, like, places, so I think these
are
safe.
Real stuff.
Because it's not real.
Yeah, they're okay.
That's what I mean. These are like military rations. You can buy these poppers anywhere.
Well, they come. Oh, and look, they come.
You can
in
open that shit up in the moon. You're
they
fine.
Do. They come and they go because they come in a little individual
sealed.
Store. Not even. I don't think it's microwave safe. I think they're actually.
Oh God, no! Oh, God. Oh no! We'll sell that theory someday.
Yeah. Not from this studio.
Well, there's this. Well, Marnie, you missed it. We have a new toaster.
And it all went wrong.
We have a toaster and Pop-Tarts. And
for the car? Is this from 2 years ago?
No.
We've learned our hard lesson making toast in the car.
And that was it. Wasn't
was
toast.
That ever attempted? I don't remember. Okay.
Yes. And Clayton was the official, like, conscientious objector to the whole affair because I had to be on a plane like 3 hours later. But I kept drinking and trying to make toast.
Right.
Anything that required, like, a heating element to work.
Well, Bobby, sure.
It wouldn't do that, but it, like, turned on, like, you could plug in, like, electric razors, the phone.
Your coffee grinder.
Yeah. The coffee grinder worked, but anything that had to, like, heat, like a blow dryer didn't work.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there's a video of it, and it's just a tragedy.
Yeah.
Somebody draws too high, though.
Yeah. It doesn't have
somebody
water.
Somebody shaves in the back of the car. Yeah. And
very funny.
I choke.
He almost dies, apparently, here in the studio. I don't know.
None of that.
No, heavens no. Well, everybody, thank you for being back listening to us. This is show number 186. This is Tuesday, October 21st, and we are just thankfully, I don't know how it all is where you are, if you're going through the same hell we are, but I am so glad that the election season is almost over.
Just for my mail just in for this, itself.
These midterms, I am just happy. I want it to be done and over, and let's move on. I mailed my early ballot in the other day.
Okay.
I know you're kind of an objector to that, but
No, I think
I still vote. I mean, you like to go and pull the lever, if you will. But I always get it. I got it in. Boom, did it.
Good.
Went in Monday, so I'm golden and out of that.
So
I have a couple props to read. You helped me with one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just talked about another one.
No on 122.
Yeah.
Because that's just a big Tea Party bullshit. Yeah. So, and I didn't realize that until like Saturday.
That's one with help the kids.
Help the kids. Yeah. It has nothing to do with
it. Yeah, and the kids thing is bullshit. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize that. And then I went, wait a minute.
I clearly did my research and voted this week, too.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so you were a big help with that.
I'm glad. Yeah. Yeah, good.
I actually used, I guess it's the lazy man's way of research. I oftentimes would reach out to, if it's not brought up in here organically, and you guys all do the research for me, I reach out to our dear friend and former staff member here, Buddy Early, because he's usually always involved with all that
Absolutely.
Stuff. But what I did is I did another route where I actually went to Facebook, because all these fucking campaigns have Facebook pages. Well, then I figured out, by way of going to them and figuring out who my friends were that were already part of it. And I found, I don't know if I found Buddy Early, but I found enough people that were in our camp And yeah, I thought I'm safe in this. And then again,
okay.
I knew our friend Tom Van Dorn, who is with Phoenix Police. I've got a fireman lives across the street, and he's got a no on 487 sign, and so are a couple people.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. And I'm no like, on that
yeah,
one.
So, we, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. My mind was made up on several other things.
Should we be helping him?
I don't know.
All right. Hands in the air? Yeah. He was still breathing.
So Topping's a good sign.
Yes, exactly.
If there's air coming in and going out, probably good.
If Al passes out during the next 2 hours and 50 minutes, please call somebody.
I'll just ram my chair into here and get myself a Heimlich maneuver.
That's good, because my first aid is deplorable.
Slightly to your left there, dear.
Oh, well, it feels great to be back in studio and be back on with all of you. I don't believe, I'm sure Al's probably going to screw this up. I know that I don't have anything planned for the remainder of the year, and I think we will hit every week from here until the end of this.
I'm not fucking with that.
Oh, you're not? Oh, I thought you had another trip planned in November.
I do, but I'll be back.
Oh, so you're not missing a Tuesday. Do you have anything, Martin?
I believe I'm good, too.
And we're up in the air, Kat. I hate to leave you in this limbo.
Well, we go to 5.
I understand.
Oh, we may be going to 5.
I think that's brilliant.
We could just go to 5. We'll just have to move everybody around a little bit, and we may make that work.
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's a great idea.
God, do you think we talk enough for 3 hours? Do you think we can do 5?
Of course we can.
I mean,
5 hours?
No, five people. I mean,
I guess we could do it in shifts, but that's easy.
Yeah. I know. I thought, no. We're here for all 5.
No.
Wait, well, I wouldn't be anyway.
It'd be like the morning commuting news people.
No, what I'm thinking is, with 4 of us,
happy birthday.
With 4 of us, we already talk over each other enough. We add a 5th one. For a permanent, I don't know.
Oh, Katie doesn't talk over anybody.
And you know what? Honestly, Katie may be one of those hit and miss. Like, she may be this week and not next week. And
depending on what she has.
Right.
She got a kid in the holiday season.
Yeah.
And a kid that's now self-aware.
That's
true. So does she. I mean.
Yeah, well, you have 2 of them.
Okay. Yeah, they're a little bit older.
They are. They're starting to kind of do their own thing a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah, because Palmer is just realizing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
She can walk and she can do stuff.
I'm like, Santa? You know, all of it.
Start questioning authority early, Palmer. Question that authority.
Work it out. For the view, they could go down to 4 so easily.
Uh-huh. Oh, I noticed today that the table's back. That didn't take them long, did it?
Like week 2 or week 3.
Yeah, they boom. Yeah. I saw
they're
that
so
today.
Excited about it, too.
They're all back.
Yeah. They were bitching about that.
Just didn't stay long, yeah.
I just happened to catch this morning, like 2 seconds of it, as I was channel surfing to get to real news. And then I just noticed... they probably didn't move studios, but that studio.
No, they did.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Enormous.
They're no longer in the. They're no longer on the east side by the UN. Now they're in like ABC Television Studios.
Oh, got it. That is a whole different world for them.
Oh,
looks
yeah.
Like.
Then they have to come in from it, but they were, and that was the reason why it was called The View, was because it was. I think the suburb was called Loving or The City, which one or the other. It was a brief 90s soap opera, and they were where they filmed. And there was a big window you couldn't see that they would fit into different shots of the soap opera. And that's why it was called The View, is because it had this gigantic window that they're always having to cover up. It literally had a view.
Wow. There's a little trivia for you there. Now, we'll probably be talking about this a little bit later as well, but you said, and at first I was concerned more than I read the rest of it. You said you were concerned for Barbara Walters because Oscar De La Renta passed.
Another of her very close, like, she's lost close friends all year.
All of her peers are just falling.
And not just peers. These are like her secret band of close friends. Like she's very close to Oscar De La Renta, really close to Joan Rivers, really close to Robin Williams. They were friends because of their connection with Christopher Reeve. Mm.
Sure.
Oh,
that's right.
So these were just like acquaintances.
You think she's sitting there just like shaken before Barbara?
Ooh. Well, ever since her friend Beverly Sills died, it's been all downhill from there.
That was her very best friend.
But these are all the people that she kind of like secretly kind of know this one for real.
Yeah, on the DL, she kept it all quiet.
Ooh. All known for their discretion. And another one, but Donald Trump's still alive, and that's one of her, she tries to keep a low profile on that, but they're very good friends.
I think that's wild.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other side of that is, you know, you always keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
So maybe,
that's a good point.
Maybe that's why she's like, I'm not getting into a shit show storm with this one, I'm just going to let this one play close to the vest. Could be.
Yeah, that very well could be. While I was gone, I don't know if you guys talked about it. I didn't hear the week
you
that
weren't
I,
listening.
The week that I was driving back. Yes, absolutely. That was very fun. But did you guys talk about the fact that Whoopi and Rosie apparently got into it? Was that bullshit?
It was like a commercial break thing, and
Not a big deal.
No.
Okay, because I didn't see anything. I didn't have time to see anything. I thought, I wonder, oh, no.
And I think that Rosie mentally ill thing is always going to be the little...
Sure. Catch?
Yeah. Sure. I can't think what the phrase is, but you know what I mean? The little thorn in everybody's side. That mm-hmm. She's kind of troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she is. She looked better when I saw her today. Like, somebody mm-hmm. actually got a hairbrush to her and said, let's clean you up a little.
Well, they had an interesting piece, and I was so wondering how they would handle it, because Valerie Plame, I think that's her name, the one that was outed as a CIA spy because her husband was...
She was on...
Oh, right,
yeah.
Valerie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the last name, but Valerie, yeah.
The one that her husband was the one that said, kept saying from the beginning, there are no weapons of mass destruction. And if you didn't read line number 2 from the New York Times article, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Those were the biochemical weapons that we gave them that they found.
Mm.
Those were not, they did not find WMDs. They found the WMDs we know they had because we gave them to them in the 80s.
Mm.
But anyway, she's the one.
Was that in the 80s when Reagan was deciding that AIDS wasn't real?
Yeah, and I ran contra and all that other
right,
more happy
right.
So anyway, they had Valerie Plame on there. Well, Nicole Wallace is from the Bush White House, and that was all retribution, and Karl Rove got convicted of, you know, the retaliation of outing her as a spy as retaliation for her husband saying there was no WMDs. So they're sitting there, and they were very chummy, she and Nicole Wallace. So I was like, well, that's kind of like the elephant in the room. How are you not bringing up that it's her White House that's kind of responsible for this woman getting fucked up the ass and, like, losing her, you know, she was one of our top CIA operatives in the Middle East as far as, like, nuclear proliferation. Like, she was a big fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, it turns out they were friendly, and she's the one that, Nicole Wallace is the one that got her to come on the show and talk about her book and everything and be so open.
Oh, good.
But I was like, that's a weird, like, this, like the Donald Trump, Barbara Walters, like, yeah. The strangest bedfellows out of that. You'd think they'd be enemies, but nope, they were like,
Well, right. She didn't do anything personally to her.
Right, right, but it was one of those things that they became friendly over books, and she reached out to her and got her on the show, and they, when they came back from break, like, we have to acknowledge that that was Nicole's get. Like,
oh. Because I did see that, oddly, was the couple seconds or minute or so that I saw of the view today.
It was a very interesting interview.
I should probably go back and rewatch that.
It is, and they talk about, like, they compare it to, they ask her about Homeland and, like, the little discrepancies in Homeland. Oh. She's like, well, of course, what makes it good TV is what makes it bad.
Right.
Realistic
right.
stuff.
What's
like
really
a woman that can't handle interpersonal relationships is not the person you're going to send out in the field to develop interpersonal relationships and recruit spies. Like, it's kind of missing a basic tenet of, like, she's got a built-in character flaw.
Question number one, are you a people person?
No. So we're going to send you out to meet people.
So we're going to get you to face your fears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we do have a lot to talk about in this week's show because there's a lot that's been happening. So we'll go around the table and find out. Were y'all been? Well, we've only missed a week. You missed two, right, Martin?
Three. Yeah, three. Because that's why it's been forever.
I said it was summer when she left.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because Barbara Sinatra filled in the first week. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So
it was summer. I thought you were just being a smartass.
No.
Turns out it was summer.
It really was.
We had our...
She means it almost literally.
We had our autumnal solstice, is what you call it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Kat Carlson, you said it was teacher conference week? Is that what you
mean? It is parent-teacher conference week. luckily, as it turns out, the children aren't actually mine, so I don't go to those things
But good. Now that you can make things happen at a job,
I'm going to play this card.
That was great. I love that.
Yeah. Being the step-parent kind of excludes me from some of those
didn't
official...
Know. Funny.
Didn't have them.
Sure yeah. didn't do that. No.
Yeah. Sure didn't do that.
Got them aftermarket.
Yeah.
It's like buying new wheels for your car.
It's like going to Ross. You know?
Gently used.
$4.95.
There's two. Right. But we do happen to have a young man in our house who's about to turn 9 years old.
Oh.
And so we spent a fair amount of time planning and executing his birthday party sleepover.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, we had some of his best little obnoxious friends come and spend the night.
Oh, so this has already been done and in the books.
Yeah, this happened on Friday.
This was the camping thing, yeah.
I saw a
tent on your Facebook, and I wasn't sure what that was for, but I didn't ask.
That was a lovely picture of my backyard with a tent in it where four little 8- and 9-year-old boys spent the night. And, you know, they had a wonderful time. They loved it.
That's cool.
The backyard camp out.
You needed a fire pit for it.
We did the marshmallows and we did the whole thing.
Gotcha.
It was all at home.
I was going to go on there and say, I have one. Yeah, but then, like, five other people had beaten it. They type too fast, and I went.
Yeah, living here in Arizona, the fire pit, very popular. So I was confident that I could rustle one up on fairly short notice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how many were there?
We ended up with... like four or five kids coming over for like dinner and to run around and trash my house, and then I think
she said lovingly.
And then three plus ours spent the night.
Got it. So yeah, you had four. So was it one of those things where they stayed up till all hours?
All hours. It was so much fun because, you know, I'm up at night a lot anyway.
Okay.
So I just stayed up and kind of watched television and kind of like set benchmarks. I'm like, okay, like we're going to go into the tent at like 10. Like we're done. Go to the tent. Go lay down. And then, okay, we're going to turn all the electronics off at like 11. And then 11:30, I'm out there and just kind of yelling in my big mean dad voice. And
yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, I said lights out. All the flashlights go off.
Oh, very military. Yeah.
Private Benjamin out there. She's
Private Benjamin.
I signed up for the other army with the beaches and the resort.
Yeah, somewhere along the line. Yeah, with groups of kids, I just kind of have that. Like, patience. We're done.
Yeah. Sure.
Very good.
I do the same with drunk people.
And then, well,
hey,
we all do.
It's a true story.
What?
So, I'm just saying, I bet.
So in the morning, was there the rise and shine? Did you, like, play you know, the reveille and do all the things? Or, did you cook breakfast? I did.
For his gift, he's very big into a game called Tetherball, which is the volleyball on the string.
Yeah.
On the stick thing.
I played that in elementary school.
I love that.
Yeah, he's obsessed. Like, we've been at the school as the gates are opening every day this year because he's obsessed. Like, that's his thing.
Oh, okay.
And so we got him one for the house for his birthday. So at 6 o'clock the next morning, they're outside.
Oh, smack, yeah. Smack.
As it turns out, like, how the house is set up, like, it's right outside my bedroom window, like, right by my headboard. And so I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're out there playing tetherball, which is very fun, and we made pancakes. And, you know, militaried them through some cleanup and sent them on home, and they all had a wonderful time.
No,
it was very good. It was successful.
And he's turned 9 years old, and that was the goal of him getting 1 year older.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, I make it
that is fun.
Are you still driving for Uber?
I am still driving for Uber, yeah.
I wanted, because you hadn't said anything, or I hadn't heard you say anything in a while, but I guess I haven't seen you. And I wondered, because you did drive tonight.
I did.
So I'm like, oh, maybe she's still out there cruising the streets picking up people.
Well,
in a completely legal way.
I like how
you put that. I'm currently reading the biography of Jack the Ripper, so I like to write that down.
I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn and see how that works for
me. Driving around town, they get people legally.
Yeah. They call her the Ripper.
Depending on the city, semi-legally.
Cat the Ripper.
They're still working on it.
Yeah. I like it. Cat the Ripper.
I was so frustrated when we were in Vegas a couple weeks ago because they're not permitted in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Uber's not permitted in Vegas. And I was like,
what the fuck
are their cars?
No.
What
about New York? There's still too much mob in Vegas. Like,
New York? Yeah. Yes, New York has them. I think they have them because, New Jersey did.
I'll ask in New York. I'm not sure. But, you know,
only a way to look it up.
I mean, it's kind of the mafia in Vegas. That cab thing is locked in stone.
Got it. Okay.
And I'm drunk in Reno, the world's largest little city or whatever the fuck that whore town is called. Walked out of the casino, and I'm like, where's the fucking mafia in this town? I need a cab. Like, why am I waiting?
Oh, and they don't have them there.
No, well, they do eventually.
Eventually.
There's
right
none
now
of that, like, raise your kind of glass.
In Reno, it's like Phoenix cabs.
Yeah. Uber is all over the NYC, so
I was pretty sure because you get a hired car.
There's still a lot of controversy in New York, and there's still like various lawsuits, and the yellow cab companies are really kind of trying to come at every direction to stop Uber.
But I don't get, and unless you're going to explain this to me in a different way that I can get. I'm like, okay, it's competition.
Yeah, but they have a very
strict, it is,
but they're like a guaranteed business in New York. Like, you don't fuck around with that. Like, nobody else comes in. It's yellow cab and.
Right, but if you build a better mousetrap, why do you say nay nay?
Because you're putting a huge section.
Then they all just get newer, nicer cars, and they.
But that's
the argument is regulation.
Yeah.
You know, cab drivers have to get their hack license, and they have to drive regulated cars, and
they have to sleep, and they have to be approved by all these different things. And people are just coming in with a car and like picking up
an
people.
iPhone and a car, and off you go. You're an Uber driver, so like I kind of get the cab driver's perspective on that, and it's kind of interesting to watch changes as they happen a little bit at a time. Because shortly after I signed up in Phoenix, they initiated a vehicle inspection. Like, I was already signed up and driving, and they're like, oh, by the way, we thought we should look at your vehicle. So they're changing and adapting as time goes on and as things go, and as their lawsuits come in. You know, the umbrella insurance is new. you know, when UberX first started up, you were only covered by your driver's insurance. And your driver's insurance was like, fuck no, because we didn't know they were doing this, so there was that issue.
We didn't plan on you having eight people in your car.
Right.
And in New York, like, they have the person, they have the thing about get your, like, when you land at JFK, they give you a thing with your car number on it as your receipt in case you lose anything or anything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're set up from there to the city. It's a set fare. It's $45 from JFK to anywhere in Manhattan. They have a set dollar amount. They get you there regardless of waiting. You just pay the tolls.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the little thing that gives you the rules and regulation of the cabs. The cab drivers are kept safe by the plexiglass. They have the payment thing there. It's all, and they have to put a lot of money. The retrofit.
There's a lot
cabs.
Of regulation.
So then somebody come in with a car and be like, I'm playing the same game you are. That's not right.
Mm.
Like, that's where you're like, I'm with the unions and the mob on that one. Like, you got to fall in line.
Yeah, I'm definitely all about, like, the better, faster product.
Right.
For sure. And the competition of it. But you got to be playing by kind of the same rules. But, I mean, as long as it keeps paying me, I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, no, I'm going to use the hell out of it.
It's not the same situation here because you'll never find a cab in Phoenix.
Right, yeah, you won't grab a cab on
the Charlie's off the light rail. Like, there is nowhere.
And they're all shitty cabs.
And how is that the Charlie's and Corumbas have, like, the cabs lined up?
Oh, because
they're smart.
They make deals with it because they only allow certain cab companies are only permitted on their lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that they do it because they know that if those cabs are waiting out there, you know, Manny, Moe, and Jack are going to drink five more drinks because they know there's a
kid. I completely understand why the bar is.
But I don't think any of the other bars typically have one just sitting outside waiting.
No.
Rarely. I mean,
well, and that was my point. Like, it's Corumba's and Charlie's, and that's it. Like, I've been to all the other bars.
There will be one or two sitting at Stacy's on the little convenience store lot.
Side, yeah.
Right, right. But it really kind of goes with the, based on what we're saying, Corumba's, Charlie's, Stacy's, the bars that have the largest volume of clientele, that's where they wait because they know that's where they're going to get it from.
Right. Yeah. You show up at midnight, you show up at 1, you show up at 2, like all the
departure times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Watching the cabs swirl around Charlie's, it's kind of like watching a wasp's nest or a hornet's nest because one leaves, one comes in, they're always, and they'll do it until 4 or 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. I take the airport, I take the SkyTrain to Charlie's, and then I know there's a cab sitting there, so I walk across, jump in a cab, and they were like, you have luggage, but sure.
That's what I mean. You have money.
Like, there's a moment of hesitation of like, is there a... Uh-huh?
You can't tell me they haven't hauled a drag queen out.
Oh, no, right.
Point.
Right, and they know everybody. Like, the whole conversation about Pussy LaHood and this day and that day and who do you know in that bar.
Yep. All of that. Oh, Marty.
Wow.
Aaron wants to know if we can start the drinking word now. We're 33 minutes away.
For right now, it's the.
Calm down.
Just because I didn't hear the word the.
Prep for tomorrow's conferences. We'll get there.
They'll here get there.
The drinking word. There you go.
Got it. She's ready, she said.
Yeah.
So that's good.
All right.
I'm good.
We're good?
Yeah. Marty.
Marty Ryan, you drove across country again.
Oh, my God, we sure did, except for it was so much fun because we took our time. No, but let me rephrase that. No offense to us.
I was going to say,
driving.
We took our cars.
Yeah, we did. Oh, my God. We had a great time, but we were like, let's get from A to B. Right?
Okay.
When you drove,
we were on a mission from God, but nobody could stop us.
Right. Well, Erin found this app on her phone that showed crazy roadside places. Babe, if you want to put that on here for people, because that was very fun.
Oh, the link in the chat room.
As we're going, like, we saw Mount Rushmore. I'd never seen Mount Rushmore.
Oh, very cool. Right. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
It was really beautiful. Really beautiful. And the trees were not changing in Minnesota. But as we were driving, I never want to drive it again.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to be sitting there so I can soak it in.
Right, that's how the Pacific Coast Highway is. When you get to the pretty parts of the Pacific Coast Highway, you want to be the passenger.
Right.
Because you're living,
like
you're dying.
This. We're driving like this, and I'm like, oh, my God. That's so pretty.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
Oh, 10 and 2.
10 and 2, shit.
Or whatever the new thing is with airbags.
9 and 3, I think.
Aaron says it's called Roadside America.
That's what it was. And they had, like, went and thought of you but could not take photos. We saw Carhenge.
Oh, I know of Carhenge.
We went, it was in
like
Alliance, except all cars.
With dead cars.
And it was hysterical because probably 11:30, dark as the ace of spades, in Alliance, Nebraska. And it was the night of the full moon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we pull up, we also had satellite radio, so I totally found HLN Forensic Files. Loved it. So we pull in, and all of a sudden, oh, look, Carhenge. was it murder? and you said, and it's dark and the full moon and the car engine, it's very spooky.
Eric, get the car, we gotta go!
I know, like we're out there and all of a sudden I'm like, let's go! And we go down the street, as you would. And there was a rest area with bales of hay, a recliner, a toilet, and it said like free Wi-Fi. We were hysterical. It's okay. It's just hysterical. On the truly side of the road.
Okay.
So we took some pictures of that, and we went to the smallest church in South Dakota. They have one on the north side or the east side of the street, and on the west side of the street, or the highway. Silliest things that you just don't think about. Wall drug can be given back to whomever wants it, only because they have so many signs that are blocking beautiful views all the way along the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Utah was very dark. That I remember.
Because it was nighttime.
Exactly. But there was nothing. I mean, so it was kind of like
Good deduction. What part of Utah did you drive through? Which part?
The dark part.
Moab, like going.
there's not a lot out there.
We went through Thompson Springs. We met Pebbles and Johnny. Johnny we named. Pebbles we did not. And
she's nice.
She was lovely.
Yep. Going back to the hooker comment I made earlier?
Kind of.
Okay.
It was the only place with light. And this guy comes around the corner, Johnny, as we later had named him. And he looked like the guy from Christine or Home Alone. Do you remember what I'm talking about? The older guy, and he had like the sunken in cheeks, and he
scary. Yeah.
Or on Home Alone, he was the guy who shoveled.
He was the shoveling guy. Yeah.
Pebbles had two teeth.
Total. Maybe two and a half. We're not sure. There was one look broken off. Okay.
I bet she's proud of him.
Yeah.
She sure was. Smiled a lot.
Yeah, that girl.
But she comes. This guy comes around the corner. I have got to be like a racehorse, and I'm trying to get in the door, and he's like,
"Where are you headed?"
Oh. And her name was Large Mars.
No, that was Pebbles. And anyway, and he looked just like that guy, and he was like,
"Just want to let you know, there's nothing down the street going that way for like 100 miles.
Oh, I love when you're in horror movie town. Yeah.
I know. And he was like, "You got no phone, you got no radio, you got no nothing. You ain't going to be able to connect with anybody." And I'm thinking, we're going that way.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you where we're going. I've seen this on CSI.
Yeah.
You criminal mind me? I don't think so. But it was. It was lovely. It was such a fun trip.
Try to get your DNA on something before he burns you alive.
Right. Yeah. And then send it from Thompson Springs.
Yeah.
It was stamped. So, but it was just the beauty. I have just never seen that part of America going through and driving through, and it was.
What made you take the northern route like that? We went more southern because we came across the 40.
Well, because we were going to go
my hometown
because we were going to go to your hometown,
right, Oklahoma City, across mm-hmm. Albuquerque, Amarillo, or all through mm-hmm. there. But you went the northern route, so you right. went across from Kansas City.
No.
You were northern.
Because we went northern. We went from the Twin Cities up to the biggest ball of twine.
Oh,
made by
there.
One man.
It's
in
there.
Darwin,
yeah.
which is where Seidel's fiance is from, my best friend's fiance is from
okay.
Darwin. So it was cracking me
ironically
up.
Named, by the way.
Ironically. So, but it was just funny. The biggest ball of twine. We went into this Whoopee. It was a bar called Whoopee. Loved it. And
Ernie says she wanted to see Mount Rushmore, and I did not want to see Texas.
Yeah.
That's fair.
A lot of people
real
don't.
True.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to drive across Texas.
Yeah, again,
no.
I've so many times.
I've done it with you. That's I've done right. it by myself, going back and forth, and it's only been this much of Texas, and that was too much.
And right. that's too much. Yeah.
Once I had to take the southern route, I'd take I-10 driving somebody to Florida mm-hmm. years ago and had to go, you know, down through Tucson 10 and went all the fucking way across. And I thought we'd never get out of
Texas. You're never going to get out of Texas.
No.
And then we blipped through, like, the Louisiana. And we blipped through all these little ones. But it literally took 2 days, it seemed like, to get across
Texas. I've only ever actually driven across the 40 through Texas and the Panhandle.
Panhandle through Amarillo.
I seriously thought we were going to die there. Like,
yeah,
it was the
no.
smallest part of Texas you could drive through. And I'm like, are we done
it
in Texas yet?
It smells really nice.
Oh, well, the feedlots. There's so many feedlots going across there.
I did it 30 years ago, and I was like, that's plenty. We're done.
That never has to happen
but when
again.
When I came down, when I drove down from Seattle through, I went north up the Pacific Coast Highway and south, and then south through Idaho
mm-hmm.
and Idaho. We went through Utah. I was like, this is the most beautiful
yeah.
place I've ever seen. Of course we dropped nuclear bombs here.
That's
the American response to
Idaho,
much beauty.
Idaho and Montana I thought were beautiful as well. But it was so, like Mount Rushmore. I had just never seen it. All of a sudden, you know, you're like, it rocks me. And then you learn the story of different things, like how there was a picture that Aaron and I have. I think it's my profile picture right now, where we're like pointing at Washington. On the one side, because we came around this one area that, oh my God, it just opened up so gorgeous. And we look up and, there's George. There's his profile. And I went on to read the story about it, and it was something that's where Jefferson was on that side, and they didn't like it. And with everything being used dynamite to make that,
right?
They just blew his face right off there. And all of a sudden, you have this incredible profile of George Washington.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was just pretty spectacular. So, and we started out liking each other.
I see it now.
Yeah, we started out the trip liking each other, and we ended it liking each other even more. So it was kind of cool.
Nice.
Oh,
that's
the rarity of a road trip.
Because it could have gone really the other way.
Yes.
Really, it could have.
Yeah. Sometimes just driving across Phoenix will do that to people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The guy that I drove down from Seattle with, we started off fighting in Seattle. And we realized how long we had to drive, and we
called the truce.
Yeah, the river defrosted or unthawed about 2 hours in. Of like, all right, listen,
you,
and then just trying to find a way to like break, you know, breach conversation and get to go. But when that started, I'm like, it's gonna be a long two fucking days.
Well, there was something that I haven't told you yet, honey. As we were going, there was she loves NPR, and I. Oh, yeah, we did.
Had enough sleep?
Sharon impersonation.
No, we did. Yeah. What's wrong with your face, kid? Woo. Anyway.
It's a mean-spirited chair.
Oh, no, it got worse and better.
Was that a line from Mask?
It really was. Through the whole thing. We did that at Mount Rushmore. You know, what's wrong with your faces, President? But we were going, all of a sudden I'd go to sleep and NPR would be on, and that'll help you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Even here in Phoenix. As I get in my car, I'm like...
Al uses this very show to go to sleep.
Yeah. Good call. Super good call.
Good call.
But at one point, she had this book on tape kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was joking. And I said, is that NPR something, like it trying to kill me? And she's like, no.
It's chicken soup for the soul.
I know, right? It was something else. But, oh, dear God. I'm like, she's really, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a joke. And I love you, honey. And I sat there, like, with my mouth open as she was driving. She's like, isn't this great?
You're driving or
no,
asleep?
I was trying to stab myself in the head. Shut this up.
For those who wonder what in the fuck you're driving across country for as opposed to flying, you went to bring back some furniture from your grandparents or something, right?
I have both of my grandparents are now passed since last February.
I feel like you're just secretly pillaging a town in Minnesota.
I know, right? I just keep bringing things back. Nope, that was the last one.
And if that's
it.
The case, I could use some office furniture.
Yeah.
I'll work that out.
Lightning dykes are driving
that
up there.
That I do have. You come talk to me.
All right.
I'm not kidding. Pull up. Now, it's really true. My grandparents had a beautiful, like, back in the day set, like cherry wood. They had the dinette and a hutch and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they had a table that for my Friday after Thanksgiving stuff would have just been... perfect, like just awesome to be able to have. But apparently my family thought it would be a good idea to get rid of the leaves that go in the table. Well, we don't need them. Okay.
You never get a leave.
I know, but anyway, it doesn't matter. There are a couple of chairs in it. It is sitting in there, and it just, I don't know. It
makes
me happy.
So what did you drive back in?
We rented a fantastic car, actually. It was a Ford Edge.
And you carried all this stuff in it?
Oh yeah, we had our luggage. But the table we were able to get in there. It's not a big table.
Okay.
It's not a big table.
Oh, no leaves.
Without
the leaves, it's really rather small.
It's just a bench.
And then there are two chairs that go with it.
It's SUV like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're great.
They're nice.
Oh my God.
I rode in one to the airport when Mom and I flew out. It was a very nice vehicle.
And the back seat reclines.
No.
So if you're
napping,
intending,
gonna do it.
Yeah.
Well,
wasn't going there, but
no.
Points. Perkins.
Well, lesbian Ford Gap is not a real thing. They did all kinds of busy.
No, the reclining seat in the
edge.
Well, it all came back to life.
That was,
wow.
Pebbles and John there.
Well, I don't want to talk about him anymore. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so it was just, it was wonderful. That's all. It was just, it really was a fantastic trip. And we got back on Thursday of whatever week the...
Last, perhaps?
No, it was the Thursday before last, whatever, a week and a half ago.
Right,
it took us like 4 or 5 days to get back.
Just go with I'll go.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
And, just to have been working and enjoying otherwise. So, been very cool. We were going through some of the states as they were becoming legal for gay marriage. And so that marriage equality. Yeah. That's been fucking irritating me. But it was really kind of cool going through there. And then they said the Four Corners, because that was the other place we wanted to go. We were going to go through the Four Corners. And I had my equality shirt on, and I wanted to, do one of these pictures. Yeah, apparently you can't do that because it was closed. What the hell is that?
Yeah, when I went to
state park.
Yeah, when I went to the Four Corners.
It might be a national park since it encompasses more than one state. It's an official park, and so if the Park Service is closed, then
perfect. No. Thank you, because I could not.
Yeah,
it was
closed, and we went through it too.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's a little visitor center and like a big medallion where listed all out.
Because it's New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona,
Utah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have some SARS left over, that's really good. No, hantavirus. I'm sorry. Hantavirus is there.
Oh, okay.
That's not going anywhere.
No. And you, Mr. Perkins,
play with the mouse.
You posted some beautiful pictures.
I went to the most surprising.
The water was
beautiful
the color
place.
Of your shirt.
It was so many different colors of blue. There's one picture that some of them you just have to see. Facebook couldn't do them justice. Okay. There was the tide was coming in on this one beach, and the water would change color from blues to greens. It was the most beautiful place I have ever been. I was not prepared.
And for those who don't know where you were,
Puerto Rico, and it really is a lovely island of tropical diseases. And the worst driving situations possible. So I had to take over driving because I was having such panic attacks as the passenger that even the back seat with my head down, I couldn't, I was panicking.
You knew
so
you were
bad.
Moving.
So I had to be driving and in charge of the brake pedal because no one drives on the right side of the road. Driving laws are just kind of suggestions, and we're really not going to follow them. And we went down all these different things. We're one lane, one half lane roads, windy horror movie roads down to beaches and stuff. And it was so much fun. San Juan was very pretty. The Hilton Caribe, if anybody wants to go, I will go back there in a heartbeat. They have a private beach.
Mm.
They had built a reef so that the beach is a little less bigger waves, but it was beautiful with swim out docks, and we swam out to the docks, not swim out, platforms to lay out on. You have to swim in the ocean out to those. I couldn't get up on it because there was no ladder, and I'm a little too short, so luckily Shane was there, and he got up, and he was actually able to lift me up and get me on the thing, and it was beautiful. The food wasn't that great at the hotel, but it was all...
What was the infinity kind of pool? Is that what you're referring to?
This was the ocean. This was the actual... They had a beautiful pool at the Caribe, but they have their own private beach, cordoned off and security. In case you want to go to Puerto Rico and pretend you're not in Puerto Rico, this was your hotel. But the ocean was beautiful. And then we actually stayed on the west coast in a town called Aguadilla, or Borinquen, which we were getting lectured on how to say. And it was just spectacular. We were on the fifth floor of a condo of a building over on a cliff overlooking the ocean with a private balcony that no one could see you. You know what I mean? We were all alone.
That's awesome.
A mini bay. I don't know how the water was so still, but absolutely beautiful. It had an infinity pool because we were right on the cliff. So the infinity pool was just to fucking die for.
Sure.
And Dad, we all wanted to fuck, who was the general, because it was Columbus Day weekend. So there was a guy there that he owns his condo, and he was vacationing his own condo and just yelling at everybody about the rules of the pool. And I had a plastic wine glass that really did look quite realistic. Okay. And the guy's like, "Do you live here?" "No, I don't live here." And I went in directions. He's like, "The glass and all this stuff." And I'm like, "It's plastic. It's very realistic, but it's plastic." "Well, why don't you drink it in the pool?" I'm like, "You have a beer in your hand. Aluminum. This is plastic. It's not going anywhere." But I digress. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Hurricane Gandalf, as I was calling it, but it was Gonzalo.
Right.
I decided Monday morning I'm going to... I got up early, and I'm going to watch the news in Spanish and test out my Spanish. Because they don't speak Spanish down there. They speak like a Spanglish version that has like African influences, and they spell a lot of things phonetically. So, like, it's just weirdness. So it's really hard to, like, the Spanish was useless, but luckily they all speak English. But
when I've heard with that if you speak to someone from Puerto Rico in Spanish, and you say the same thing in Spanish to someone from Mexico, Spain, yeah, whatever, totally different meanings.
Oh, yeah.
Some. A lot. You can get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's very different, and there was some different, it was all very different, but really fun. So I'm watching the news, and I hear, like, Tormenta Tropical, and I'm like, wait a minute, that means hurricane. So then we're doing it, and the guy's in a Hawaiian shirt, and he's like doing this little dance, and I'm like, okay, this is not a dance in a Hawaiian shirt news, I think. So the storm came, we got emails from the owner, put the furniture in from outside, we got provisions, liquor, and Pop-Tarts. And pizza. But the power went out before the storm even came. We were without power for 25 hours. And the other thing about Puerto Rico, besides being beautiful, it is motherfucking hot. Like, no bullshit hot. Like, it's not like Hawaii. It's not like other places. No, there's no trade winds. It's 95 degrees with 95% humidity and a sun like ours in June. Like, that sun is...
Wow.
You stand in that sun and you bake in a hot second. Like, the patio upstairs that was so beautiful, we went up and took pictures, and then we went indoors. We're like, that is not for daytime. Because it felt like you were being cooked.
Right.
Sure.
And, but beautiful beaches. So the storm went, the power went out, blah, blah, blah. But we went to Domes Beach, was an old nuclear reactor, which we didn't find out until 2 days later. It had been decommissioned in the 60s, but it's this beautiful dome. It looked right out of Lost. And the lighthouses were gorgeous. We went to the marina in Rincon. We had a treasure map that we found in a drawer. It looked like a treasure map, but it was like things to explore with like no road, like one road written. Okay. But we were following that and then trying to use our cell phones and going to different beaches. There was Shithouse Beach. There was Gas Chamber Beach. In Gas Chamber Beach, we made it down this terrifying road that all of a sudden you were on a cliff with like a turn off into someone's garage, and then that was it. And we couldn't go any further because we were like, we don't know what to do. Like, the road kept getting narrower. Like, we can't back up on this cliff because one wrong move and we're just in the sea. So we, like, decided to, like, so we had to make, like, an 18-point turn with all of us screaming at each other to, like, get up this person's driveway and back, but not back up over the cliff. Like, there was no room for error in every direction.
I'm getting nervous just thinking about
it. Oh, my God. And I'm driving, and Shane's like, let me do it. I'm like, no, because if I get out of this car, I'm not getting back in it.
Sure.
Like, I'm so white-knuckled. Yeah. Scared out of my fucking mind. Like, I won't get back in the car. Like, I've already known this. Like, so we just have to make this work. And we got out of there, and I'm like, what the fuck? But just beautiful, beautiful places and great dinners. And it was so, every place we went, we were just like, who the fuck knew it was going to be this? It was more beautiful than Hawaii. Like, they are not fucking kidding with this water. And with the hurricane, we had the remnants in the big water. We went to this thing, the blowhole, and somebody had said, like, you have to have, like, kind of heavy seas. Well, we had hurricane. We had storm surge seas. So this blowhole, and I had the one picture on the Facebook, and I stood there forever with the high-def camera waiting for it to explode. And you can see, like, all the little drops. And it was like fireworks. Like, everybody was like, wow. And then the cliff was getting banged, like, getting slammed. It was so beautiful. And we went swimming in the water one day at Domes Beach. Big waves. Mark got out first and went and talked to somebody on the phone because I guess he got the sense of danger first. I was sitting there, and Shane and I are talking, but all the people up at the lighthouse, like, looking down at us and pointing and laughing because we're the only people, completely empty beach. I get hit, like, taken up and thrown forward into the water. I fall in. Shane's trying to help me up, and we're, like, laughing our asses off. So he's trying to, like, stand me up. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And then I get hit again, and I get thrown around. And he's starting to get worried.
Mm-hmm.
So he's picking me up. I'm like, no, seriously, I'm fine. And I just look, and it was just like a horror movie. Like, I'm like, until this hits me. And there was a wave, like, right here that just got me right in the head, knocks me over. So he has to pull me up out of the surf. And we're standing there laughing our fucking asses off. Like, could not stop laughing because him, like, I love that you're talking to the wave. Oh, until this thing hits me. And we're laughing, and this wave, it had to be, like, 6 feet tall because it came over both of our heads and just crashed down. And we're standing next to each other, like, he's trying to, like, make sure I'm okay. We got the snot knocked out of us. Like, shorts everywhere, his fist up my ass. We're like rolling to the surface.
It's a whole different story.
No, I said we are fisted by Poseidon.
Oh, okay.
All of a sudden,
did he buy me dinner first?
I said, come on. He was like, excuse me, ma'am, may I take my hand out of your ass? And we're doing a puppet show in the beach.
Not a Muppet, thank you. Yeah.
We did that. And the last day, the beach that was near us, Crash Boat Beach, we wanted to jump off the pier because there were people jumping off the pier. Oh, and Puerto Rican men. Oh, my sweet God.
I was waiting for this part. This is the part of the
universe. Oh, my God. Those asses. They are a beautiful people, and they have the asses of, like, mountain goats. Like, I don't know if they're just out climbing mountains in between to get those asses, but those bubble butts will make you fucking nuts. And you can't talk to anybody because they're looking at their ass. You're like, oh, are you still talking? I'm sorry. I was looking at your ass. So everybody's jumping up this pier. So the last day, Mark, Shane stayed in bed, and me and Mark went out, and we went out, we did it, we jumped off, we swam back to shore, and we were laughing about it. I'm like, well, we have to do it twice. We can't just say we did it once. Like, we have to conquer the animal. So we go out there, and as we're walking, I'm like, oh, look, cute, there's crabs. So as we're walking down the pier, there's two crabs, like, kind of walking across the pier, and Mark's behind me. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, and look at that big, run for your life! I'm like, run. He's like, what? I'm like, I can't tell you to jump off. He's like, should we go back? No, we can't go back. We gotta get off. So we go running to a safe distance down the pier, jump off. He's like, what was that? I'm like, it was a tarantula.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
So here's the two crabs, like, walking like this. And isn't that cute? Those can be dinner. And then this big, hairy thing just comes out walking kind of the same way, like, kind of quick. And it came out from the dock. And I'm like, run for your life!
Oh, yeah.
And then the very last thing, we had just fit in so much. We were looking at everything, and I finally went to the people that rented the condo to us. They have a big 3-ring binder of stuff to see and, like, restaurant brochures and, like, dive shops and stuff. And I see the fucking Arecibo telescope is in Puerto Rico. And I remembered it in April when we booked the trip that I wanted to go there and that it was somewhere near where we were staying. But I had completely forgotten about it. So I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, the Arecibo telescope is down here in goddamn Puerto Rico, and we're going to miss it. So Shane was like, well, let's Google it and find out if we can do that instead of San Juan in the morning because we're going to leave early to go back. Sure enough, it was on our way. Mountainous, scariest fucking road, 15,000 roads, up this mountain, and then you lose all radio signal because it's a working radio telescope that they use for planets, they use for the weather, and a hurricane is currently, like, invading their world. So it's, like, extremely active as they're trying to, like, get the information about the weather. So, like, you have to turn your cell phone. Like, cell phones just die. You can turn it on if you want to. It's not going to work.
No signal.
You can't talk loud. You can't run. Like, everything is, like, this hush. And then you have to hike up this fucking mountain. Again, hottest place on Earth. And we're hiking, like, half a mile, three-quarters of a mile up to the visitor center. And you get there, and it's the telescope from Contact, from GoldenEye.
Right.
It's, like, this big, giant valley of a huge telescope and this big arm. It was so cool. We were both so inspired by, like, who the fuck thought of this in the 60s? And it still is the world's largest radio telescope. So we sat through the little movie, and it wasn't nerdy enough for us. We wanted more, like, we wanted more information. And then you get to, like, you get to watch it, and, you know, they were angling a tiny bit. You saw a little bit of the angling of it. But, I mean, and it was one of those things you can't take a picture of it unless you fly over it.
Right.
You just can't take that into a picture. And you're just standing on this ledge, like, looking over this giant thing, and it's in a natural sinkhole. It was so cool, but of course, no cell phones, no maps, no way to get down. So we had, and everybody was like, oh, in Puerto Rico, you turn at the couch, make a left at the course. Sure.
Right.
So we're coming down the mountain. We have no way to go. We're almost out of gas. We get to the first fork in the road, and I'm like, I don't remember if we made a left or right up here. And he was like, I don't either. So we went, so I'm like, okay, those are cows. We didn't see any cows. Turn the other way. And then we're like, okay, there's a horse there. We didn't see a horse. Turn this way, and then we're driving, we're almost out of gas. And he's like, there's the couch! I said I was going to bring my mom that couch, we're almost there. And it was, we're like on this mountain, and finally we didn't get radio reception for, like, up there we lost it a couple of minutes before, but going down it was a long way, and we were just, we're in the mountains of fucking Puerto Rico.
What was the city name where the satellite is?
Arecibo.
Got it.
Arecibo.
Okay. I'll find it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I'll allow it.
It really is one of those things where you just stand there and you're just amazed at the things that people dream up. Like, and they told them it was impossible. They said that, you know, it was only for weather, and they realized that it was so big they could see out into the planets. They can measure comets that are coming towards the Earth, and it's all radiographic. So they send out the signal, and then they build the 3D images based on what sound comes back to them. It's just fucking amazing. So... Mm. That was it, Clayton.
I see. Well, as we talked about before we left, the reason we were off for the week, aside from you being gone, was that I took a little family trip back to where Marty and I had been, in my hometown of Joplin, Missouri. And the only thing that was of note that anybody gave a shit about were the pictures that were posted of me riding a tractor in our field.
You had great posture.
Yeah. And Barbara even commented I was in full uniform because
regalia.
I wore the same goddamn thing I wear every day. But it was
lawnmower regalia.
And it's something that I don't think that very tractor that was pictured on my Facebook mm-hmm. pictures, I have been mowing since I was 6 years old on that exact same tractor.
Is that the one that was in the barn?
Yeah. Very one. Very same cool. one. So, and if you'll not understand this if you never grew up in this area, but like even today when I mow the yard here, I don't wear headphones. There's nothing. I listen. I was always taught by my grandfather, you listen to the equipment. You listen mm-hmm. to how it runs.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
that you, is it bogging down? Is there something going wrong? You just listen to it.
Did you just hit a rock or a child?
Right. Exactly. One.
But it was, nest of birds.
But it was like 3 hours, 3.5 hours, however long I was out there, and because I just started and never stopped. It was the whole thing, so therapeutic to me, I think it was, because you just listen to that and you think about all kinds of shit.
How do I get off this thing? Why am I here?
Why do I have to sneeze?
My ass is sweating.
No, it was a good time. We had a really great trip. Mom got a little annoyed at the onset of the trip because everything was going great on the way there. We got the Uber was here and they took us to the airport and dropped us off. Everything was good. We get to the airport and we check our bags, you know, at the Southwest gate, and we go up, and the guy's like, oh, you guys are in the express line. You go this way. Da, da, da. Well, God damn it, if Mom didn't get chosen for the hand wipe thing,
sure.
Well, they swabbed her hand, and it detected something, which we only assume was from hand lotion.
Right.
So took forever to get somebody there because they had to have a female to come and check it. It was an additional 25 minutes that it just choked everything, and Mom was annoyed. And I understand. You're annoyed, but, you know, it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we got through all that, and then everything else was wonderful. The drive, because we fly into Tulsa, drive 2 hours into Missouri, everything was wonderful. We met my cousin's fiance, which was, she was fantastic. Stacy's really, really sweet, and I'm so happy that Mike and all that's working out well.
Awesome.
It is really weird, though, because they have widened the highway.
Yeah, I was wondering.
The highway, when you were there with me in my entire life, has been a two-lane highway with, you know, shoulders.
Sure.
Well, now it is
And you had a front yard.
Yeah, now it's a five-lane highway with shoulders.
Oh, wow.
So it's on the front porch of the house.
That is crazy.
Eminent domain that shit out of that and took care. So it's a little weird to see that that's all there.
Right.
And it's so changed. The other thing, and I didn't realize this until we were in the air flying. I'm like, oh, this is the first time I've been back since the tornado.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The
nice.
Huge tornado. So we drove through. There's an area where, and if you knew anything about the large tornado 3 years ago in Missouri, it took out an entire hospital. Huge swath of the entire city was gone. So we drive into our hometown, and there's an area where you come over a hill, and then you stop at the first main traffic light in the south part of the city off the highway, and you're used to tree like a tree line, no trees.
Okay.
Nothing, because they all haven't, you know, they haven't all grown back yet.
Oh, wow.
It was very, very odd to see. Odd to see.
Get off the tractor.
Total sections that we're like, where are we? We're like an intersection that we knew exactly what it was based on landmarks.
Yep.
And my cousin, we're at 20th Street and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, really? And we had to like literally look at the street sign. Street sign says.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very odd to see that. It was really weird and a little unsettling to realize so much was gone. I mean, you hear about it, but you said the pictures didn't do the justice of the water and everything. I don't care how much CNN, I don't care how many reports you watch, you're standing there and you realize the magnitude of it is really insane.
Was the taco stand still there?
Cheese doodle?
No.
He was
cinnamon,
there too?
Cinnamon wedgies.
Cinnamon
That little guy, would you like a cinnamon wedgie? That was the funniest thing. No, that location is actually gone. However, there is one in a little town close out to where my grandparents' house was or my cousin's house. There is another one still there. Got so it. I actually went there.
I love it.
With Duke.
Okay.
Spent five and a half hours.
I love it.
Literally spent five and a half hours sitting talking about everything.
Good.
It was really, it was great.
Oh, I'm glad you got to see him.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, him and his wife both. It was a good time.
Good.
So many things that we catch up.
Did that woman move with the place?
Cinnamon wedges.
No, but there was another older lady there.
She may have died.
By then, she probably may have died.
Cinnamon wedges are dangerous.
No, she was trying to suggestive sell us when we were there a few years ago. Like, we ordered whatever we ordered, you know, and her job is to upsell you on something. But literally, so she reads, like, the order back. Yeah,
and I'm just looking around.
You got a regular burrito, and you got this, your Pepsi amount. Would you like any cinnamon wedgies? She just came back from her smoke break, clearly. She was a little raspy.
Yeah, the two of us could not look at each other.
Gently smoke cinnamon wedgies.
Absolutely. Yeah, they call them Terrigen.
That's funny.
That really was funny. Oh. They call them Terrigen, but we sell them as cinnamon wedgies.
I'm a long way, baby.
Yes. Wow, we've shot the entire first hour just catching up and talking. That's what happens when Marnie's gone for 3 weeks and we're gone for one and fuck it. Well, we got caught up. The next 2 hours. The next 2 hours is going to be riveting, full of information and talk of important things. Well, I felt like this wasn't important.
Maybe we get ourselves worked up into an Ebola scare.
Ooh. Somebody turn on Fox News.
Oh, CNN just as bad.
Almost. I am ready to start looting. Yeah,
we'll be back in just moments, and I'm going to make Pop-Tarts. So stick around for that.
Keep that covering for
and
it.
I will have the drinking word. And well, so just we'll be right back. Just hang on, would you? It's Q-Talk America in the show on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. The top of hour two is what we are at. It's 8 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. Not sure what time it is where you are. But thank you for listening to us. You are live in Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. All of us back from vacations and other adventures in life.
Autumnal breaks.
What did I just do? I just blacked out our entire shot. Oh, autumnal breaks, yes. There was not as much fall color in Missouri as Mom and I had thought. There was one tree on our property that was literally in the couple days we were there, the top of it started to really turn.
It's a little early for that far south, though, isn't it?
But it also hadn't cooled off enough.
Exactly.
It really hadn't.
Global fucking warming.
Fuck it. All that.
It's actually true.
That's
that
not
predicting
real.
That the northern part of the country, or like that central band, is going to be a little warmer and a little drier, and the southwest where we're at is going to be a little cooler and a little wetter, and then the way far north is going to be fucked.
The Christ child is after us.
None of that global warming is real, you guys.
But El Nino is, because El Nino comes like...
El Nino just means the child. It doesn't mean the Christ child.
If it's capitalized, it's the Christ child. Kind of like...
It'd be like El Jesus Nino, or El Nino Jesus.
El Gato.
Just tell El Nino, if it's capitalized, it means the Christ child. It means the child, and there's only one.
Oh, fair.
You know El Papa? If you capitalize it,
the
means
father.
The Pope.
Sure.
So it's...
There's that.
Yeah.
All right, as we do at the beginning, we haven't even started headlines yet, but we're going to be doing it. But before we do that, we have to, because it's very important to Aaron Henderson that we get to this as soon as we possibly can. So let's start it. It's called The Drinking Word, and it goes something like this.
Oh, this fucking popcorn.
And now, a drink-along.
You open it.
We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk.
Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I just want to keep you drinking for, like, the rest of the day. So we're going to make the drinking word Ebola. You know what I mean? That way, no matter where you go from here, you know you're going to get a drink in.
Well, I think it's a good call. and truly, save those Pop-Tart foils, because we'll make a suit.
We'll make a suit.
It'll protect us.
I have to tell you, though, I don't know if you've seen it. They're all going back to their roots on CNN.
I recorded it.
The blondes?
The what? Oh,
no, okay. Yeah, exactly. That's Fox News. Sorry. We're going to make all the fembots back to their brunette color.
Wrong song.
I'm going black, back to my roots. Wolf Blitzer, he's from Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
His was very good. I didn't realize like all his grandparents were killed in the Holocaust.
I
was touched. I was moved through the whole thing.
I thought it was very interesting. I saw part of it last night, but I recorded the whole thing tonight. Because it's a 2-hour special for not every person that's ever been on CNN, but like the five or six main ones they've got. Yeah. Wolf Blitzer and...
And Anderson Cooper's is pretty cool, too.
Cooper's there. Why can't I think of the other guy?
Don Lemon.
That's the other one I was thinking of. Aaron Burnett's in it, too. And then I think the one who's
Candy
always...
Candy Crowley?
Not Candy Crowley. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Brooke Baldwin.
Oh, sure.
I think she's in it, too. Anyway, drinking word is Ebola. Use it as you can. We are going
to
start...
Panic as you need to.
Exactly. And we're going to start
a
little segment.
Crying.
If we can get through this, it's called Headlines. It goes like this.
Ebola.
Ebola.
Breaking news.
Some stories that we have found that some are real. Actually, I think all of them are real anymore, but here we go. Arizona same-sex couples marry, and the sky does not fall.
Sooner or later, it'll happen. Homo Obama Ebola.
Brewer fires the person who exposed wrongdoing.
Oh, stick a spud in it.
Dumped woman rescued from a man's chimney.
Africa's a really big continent.
Drunk woman mistook jail for bar.
Another mechanophile.
And a 5,000-square-foot dream house is built on the wrong lot. These and more wonderful things we're going to talk about.
I knew you'd have that story.
Yeah, I left that one alone.
Oh, I just stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
Just stumbled upon it. I wasn't even really looking for it.
I was like, hey, free house.
Well, we're going to start out with this, and I have to give, copyright credit to the Arizona Republic, and I believe his name is something Montini.
E.J. Montini.
Mm-hmm. The sky did not fall. The economy did not collapse. The government did not dissolve. There was no chaos in the streets, no fire, no brimstone. The earth did not open up and swallow houses, neighborhoods, cities, or states. Arizona is still Arizona, and yet something monumental happened just since we've been on the air 2 weeks ago. People that previously were not allowed to get married, well, they got married. It doesn't seem like much when you put it into a sentence like that, and it won't seem like much for generations from now, but they'll wonder instead, what took you all so long to get this together? And sure, there were those among us, like Governor Jan Brewer, who believed that federal judge John Sedgwick disrupted the natural order of the world on Friday when he struck down Arizona's ban on same-sex marriage. In fact, he did just the opposite. He created a measure of equilibrium, a balance, and symmetry amongst all people. Sean Aiken, a lawyer representing 7 Arizona couples who were challenging the law in court, said afterwards, quote, these couples from across Arizona bravely stood for equality for themselves, their families, and over 21,000 other gay and lesbian couples living in Arizona today. The judge had given the state until Thursday of last week to come up with an argument to convince him otherwise, but there was no good argument. There has been no good argument against same-sex marriage since the beginning. Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn, douche, for other reasons,
I appreciate that.
Decided not to challenge the ruling, basically realizing that he was fucked from the beginning. So Governor Brewer, in her infinite wisdom, speaking from some dark place out of the past, said, quote, in 2008, Arizona voters approved a state constitutional amendment to define marriage as a union of one man and one woman. Now, with their rulings, the federal courts have again thwarted, she uses the word thwarted, the will of the people and further eroded the authority of the states to regulate and uphold our laws. It is not only disappointing but also deeply troubling that unelected federal judges can dictate the laws of individual states, create rights based on their personal policy preferences, and supplant the will of the people in an area traditionally left to the states far more than 200 years ago. Again, just the opposite is true. Courts have been making decisions exactly like this one when a law is unconstitutional for more than 200 years. If she wants, Brewer can look it up.
But, you know, they're strict constitutionalists.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing is Republicans, oh, my God, they're such strict constitutionalists.
Constitution.
But it's that third body of the third branch of government that really pisses them off.
Yep.
The one that undoes their ridiculous shit.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
The one that says that majority doesn't necessarily rule.
Yeah. Also, I
you cannot vote.
Yep. Just in closing, this little story, and then we're going to probably talk about this for the next hour. In Arizona, on Friday, the earth did not stand still. Traffic flowed. Children went to school. Restaurants served food. Mail was delivered. A blanket of clouds pulled itself over the valley in the early morning hours, but then the sun broke through, and some people who could not get married before got married. And that is how it all went down,
and we are still here
to breathe and tell the story of how equality and marriage came to be in Arizona.
With Ebola.
We were 31, and minutes after 32 fell, and it was Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which... Really?
Which they had been falling.
Mm-hmm, they have been. I thought before.
They have the problem with their constitution.
Well, the only reason is because Aaron and I drove through all those.
And wasn't it also the day that marriage equality happened?
Look at all the
shit
today is what we do.
Was it the anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death?
Brewer's a cunt. Yes. Laura Brewer is a cunt.
And it really was. And they were not putting a wholehearted fight into that. Their problem is their state constitution. Is about polygamy.
Not a silly bitch. Mm-hmm. She's a cunt.
Right. So
they really did have that problem with the polygamy laws.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a brief stay, but there was no one really arguing that stay in Wyoming. They pretty much gave it up fast.
They didn't wait for the stay to expire even.
No, they
were just
giving,
like, yeah, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah, right. We're done.
Right.
And they just had to get around that one silly little bit of Ebola in the corner. I want to drink too, bitch.
The Ebola in the corner.
And a girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and also,
it's
I would like
children's
to know
story.
Who wrote the words thwarted and supplant for her, because...
She doesn't write her own shit.
No, I know, but...
It's good television when Jan Brewer talks on her own.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes.
That's
good
what
television.
Makes it better.
That's a drinking game right there.
Like,
yeah.
That's like Joe Biden, George W.
It
Bush
really
level
is,
of
yeah.
life.
That was that whole thing that...
Here we go!
That was that whole thing that Barbara Saville did years ago, where she did the parody of her from being when she was on the PBS debates.
Remember, Barry, Larry...
Yeah.
5 minute pause.
That was I was in Minnesota, and that was on CNN.
Mm.
And that was my favorite thing in the whole world, to look up and see Barbara Saville.
I became an ironic Jan Brewer fan because of all of that.
Yeah.
Because that is just
you couldn't
good
it
TV.
It was good
Larry
TV.
Larry and Terry.
I was my day alone in Puerto Rico. Because Shane and Mark were getting Mark back to the airport on the other side of the island. So I was alone with Wolf Blitzer. And I really wasn't thinking, you know, we had read before Mark left that the equality was passed. We knew it was happening. We'd kind of gotten a little hint the night before.
Are you turning that up?
Yep.
Thanks.
There was a little hint the night before that it was going to go through. There were some judges that were put on standby to do marriage, you know what I mean? There
right.
were not judges, but clerks or something like that was put on. Anyway.
Clerks. County clerks.
Clerks of the court.
But I got nothing of it. Like, they left, and I'm like, all right, marriage is legal. Whoop-de-doo. I don't care. And then I got a text from one of the lesbians that I work with, and her and her partner were, like, just over the moon about it. And I didn't realize that they had been waiting to get married. It had just never come up. They've been together for 30 years. They're
Brenda
just became American citizens last year. They're Canadian.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
They were just so excited. So then I read her text, and I was, like, crying, reading the text, and then the people at work got together and had like a whole like equality party for them. And I found out they got married today. Like asking, like, when are you going to do it? Not that I was going to. I'm not that close to them that they would be like, oh, you have to be at our wedding. But they went and did it by themselves. And
I love it.
I was like, you know, you should have witnesses, but you don't have to go with witnesses. Right. People go without family, and there's someone sitting in the courtroom ready to sign something.
Sure.
But it just made it so personal, and then. All these different people that I knew, Joel and Brett, all these different couples that had been married in other places or had done the deed somewhere else were all of a sudden so excited that they could get their license and get married here. And
be recognized.
But if they were
coming back.
But how does that work? Let's say you got married in Cali, and then all of a sudden it is okay to get married in Arizona like it is now. Mm-hmm. Does it automatically become a recognized or do you have to redo it?
Yes, federally that happened while we were gone.
Exactly.
Holder did the thing where if any state you're married in,
I remember seeing that.
You are federally married, and now like that's one of the things that comes with it is in your state, marriages from other states are recognized.
Yes. It's like a driver's license.
So you don't really have to go get married again if you're married somewhere else.
You actually can't.
Right, because it's married.
Yeah, if you got married in California 2 years ago or whatever, you can't get remarried in Arizona. You can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're married. You get the one marriage license, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. But you can't have a ceremony and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. Would you like one? Because they smell good, don't they?
They smell like, oh, but it's delicious.
Yeah, I'm like, what the? Oh. Mm.
Popcorn.
Warm. Like, what the? How
a warm
is that?
Pastry.
Yeah. So, funny story about Friday.
Yeah.
Friday morning, like, I wake up and I check the Facebooks like you do.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, looks like it's going down today. And Sharon's very excited about it. And that's
about you going down?
Just let it go.
About me going down.
No. I remember this conversation.
I like when a lesbian wakes up and says, looks like it's going down today.
I know. And I was trying to just let it go. I was so letting
it go. Oh, I wasn't even there.
I mean, sometimes in the morning. But anyway.
Way too early to be going down.
Oh, no Ebola.
No.
Yeah.
No Ebola there.
3 feet distance.
Everything is fine.
So I'm reading the Facebooks, and, you know, everybody's, you know, guessing, and it's going to be today, and then this has to happen, and then they say, you know, about 9 o'clock I read that Tom Horn's holding a press conference at 10:30. I'm like, oh, okay, and I'm going about my morning. And then my phone starts to blow up. It's Sharon's mother.
Oh.
Yeah. My effective mother-in-law starts blowing my phone up going, hey, so when's the wedding?
Oh.
I'm like, calm your tits, lady. It's not even legal yet. So then, like, she disappears for a while and goes to bug Sharon. And then, like, 4 o'clock, she's like, so wait, did you guys get married? I'm like, bitch, it's been legal for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Calm.
We just got the U-Haul.
By the way, that's just
I'm planning a birthday party today.
And you just had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that this was one of those topics that had kind of been always off the table because you're like, sorry, get married.
I know. And I was curious about Katie and Kelly.
Yeah, I was too. Yeah,
because the adoption thing, like, you know, that's that's the second step.
I wonder. I haven't seen anything. Yeah. Were they not one of the Rainbow's Fest?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think that they would do that. Mm-mm.
Oh, I would get.
She better not do that without me.
Oh my god. Yeah, no. But I really that was the first couple actually I thought of.
I'll give him Ebola.
That was. Don't think we won't.
Don't think I got something in that tin can.
Cheers,
yeah. Cheers, Ebola.
You know what though? For me, like I'm.
It's in my Obama purse.
I'm already home living Obama. The lifestyle.
Yep.
I'm kind of like, all right. I mean, we'll get around to it. We'll do it. I'm hoping.
Wow, are you romantic?
Yeah. Yeah.
No wonder she said it's going down today.
That.
Well, must be Friday.
I'm already living the lifestyle. I'm already there.
Well, I'm also, somebody put on there, you put because you're an ordained, and several other people were too, but it has been hilarious to see how many people have been posting, like, let the divorces begin.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I know it.
Because somebody actually wanted to be the host of
18
months.
People are so fucking dumb.
18
months. That all of a sudden this is a viable option, and they're going to run out and do it, but they don't realize there's a real divorce that goes with it.
No, but that's what the
It's no longer a breakup, kid.
Yeah.
No.
This isn't a joke.
Right, no. The heteros have been doing this forever.
Absolutely.
I have always said, and I'm sure other people have said it too, if you had to go through all the counseling and actually pass a test to get married, it would save us so much of this. Because what is the divorce rate now? Like,
no, it's 60.
It's about 50 something,
Yeah, so really.
It's like 2 out of 3 marriages fail.
Yeah, and half of them are Catholics. Yeah. And now that the Catholic Church is making all sorts of backpedaling on
shit. Catholic Church, they make you go through counseling.
They do.
And they should.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't work.
Well, but
God bless them.
Well, I would venture to guess that it probably stems the tide of it a little bit. But
and anybody that's been in a relationship longer than, like, 5 days, and like, okay, remember that horrible breakup? Now add lawyers.
Yeah. Mm. And now
it's going to cost
and
you
now
money.
And now your shit can be gone.
Right. Yeah. So now add the fees.
I'm
now
also very happy that gay marriage only happened now. Because all those lawyers and all those fees, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Can you imagine?
I mean, can you imagine? Yeah.
Where's Marty? Marty was there for one.
Just
can you imagine?
I'm just going to have a cut. Ebola!
Yeah.
Ebola!
No, you're right. You're right.
And if you had to choose between one of the horrible breakups in your past or Ebola, let me see that nurse again.
Yeah. What are my odds here?
What are my odds with my
Let's do the whole fashion show.
How painful is it?
Yeah.
Ebola, I mean.
This bitch on crack, huh?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I get to be quarantined for 21 days?
I know.
I want you to think about how many 21-year-olds are out there. God forgive me for that, because I'm not trying to just be an ass to a young person, because I'm telling you right now, they're going to be 45 and 50-year-olds that are doing it. But that are like, yay!
I may or may not know some.
Exactly. But that are going to pull, like, Britney Spears out and be like, oh, my God, that is so fun.
No, you're 100% right. I totally agree with that.
Oh, yeah. There's a wake-up call coming.
There really is.
There's a reckoning, people.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Somebody asked me if I thought about having a child.
Oh.
I think I should breed, but...
I think you should.
And then run the other way.
No. I think that you should. And then, I honestly,
this genetic cesspool should be passed on.
I'm telling you, and we have the women for it. They're in Kentucky, even.
We
They're not here.
We have the women.
Oh, we've already discussed this. Aaron
Are they binders?
Oh, yeah.
Are they binders full of women?
No. Oh, we've already discussed binders. This whole thing, and it's fabulous. Oh. But, you know, when you look at the idea of people just running out and just going with this, Aaron was completely right about... correct about the religious right. See, look at those people. It gives them more on Fox News to talk about.
Right.
That people can't just kind of slow their roll. And the people, like, there were some beautiful stories that were on the news about people that had been together for 55 or, you know, 57 years. Oh, my God, they were a delight. And other people that had been together and lost teaching jobs and had been through some real shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm not just saying only they should get married, but come on.
Well, it's one of those things where think, put some thought into it, but there's not a lot of that. Because you know that Vegas and gay weddings.
Yep.
I'm just going to sit there. Just get me my popcorn.
Fabulous. I'll sit right there and watch the drive-thru.
We'll share a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. Apparently,
Elvis. You'll dress up as an Elvis impersonator.
Apparently, you can't go to the Elvis Chapel or chapels or something. We'll not do gay marriages.
Oh, but the one right next door will.
Right.
I make a pretty decent fan of Elvis.
I'm just saying, as far as Elvis.
No, but as well, what will happen?
That'd be awesome.
As soon as they look at their bank books and realize, wait a minute. It's all money. All going to be money.
You know, Vegas has been hurting for a while. No. Have you noticed now, because of all the local casinos and the lack of need to go somewhere to gamble?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You watch the commercials for Vegas now? There is not a slot machine in those commercials.
It's shopping.
The summer shopping.
Thing, yeah.
It's all about the silly Cosmopolitan Hotel, which I got to tell you got to go.
Oh, I've been.
Really fabulous.
That is fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And the Diva, whatever, not the Diva. The Diva's in San Francisco.
The Diva's
Life. Aria.
Oh.
The Aria Hotel.
I was talking about the show.
Oh, I don't know.
It was absolutely gorgeous. Okay. The Aria Hotel is breathtaking. But that Cosmopolitan casino, nightclub, chandelier, whatever the fuck they're selling there. And I love that their ad is just the right amount of wrong. I want that on a t-shirt. I want it tattooed on my head. I want that to be my expression.
That's your new slogan.
Just the right amount of wrong.
I like it.
Ebola! I got to get more wine.
I already yelled.
Got it.
I gotta go get a glass of
wine. I'm sure we will talk more about the homo weddings later, but continue on, Marty. What's our next headline?
Well, eventually it's going to be blamed on Obama.
No.
And it certainly is somewhat being blamed on us already. You know, we as the gays have taken down the Twin Towers
and
hurricanes, right? I mean, we're very busy.
We are busy. We like to get things done.
Well, you know what? Quite frankly, we're attention seeking is what we are. Okay. And so I have come up with Homo Obama Bola.
Oh, I like it.
I feel that if you just put
Does it mean no worries for the rest of my days?
Homo Obama.
It means no worries.
Is it a hashtag?
Bola. Homo Obama Bola. Somebody hashtag that. Homo Obama Bola. I don't know how to hashtag any of that.
Well, let's see. Homo means faggot.
Ebola. It does.
Ebola means fuck you.
Homo Obama Bola.
Obama means Kenya, so I guess.
Allegedly.
Do not finish that sentence. Yeah.
I mean, for real. Well, and then this fat fucker, Eric Erickson. You familiar with Eric Erickson?
He does look familiar, but I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Fucktard.
All right.
He's a pundit. Like, he's a super right-wing pundit.
All right.
That they'll have him on CNN every now and again, and he just drives me nuts. Anyway, well, you boys are out of this one for a little while, because this is just, at this table about me. Conservative pundit Eric Erickson knows just who to blame for the death, I'll learn to read in a moment.
Take your time.
Research funds devoted for combating Ebola. It is fat lesbians, according to him. Yes.
Could you narrow that down a little bit?
Just me. Erickson assails
I
new
prefer
ad
you all driver, sir.
The GOP support for budget cuts that crippled the agencies charged with leading the response to Ebola. It slowed down critical research because they gave it to other research-funded things rather than looking at this Ebola. Erickson poo-poos the budget cut.
Oh,
the
no.
agency is like the NIH.
That leads, poo-poo leads to Ebola.
Poo-poo, it does. It does. Totally, from what I heard.
Totes poo.
Hashtag totes poo.
Totes poo. Every time I get Ebola, I think totes poo.
Hashtag totes poo-poos.
Uh-huh.
Erickson posted something on his lovely blog that I'm not going to... titled, Fat Lesbians Got All the Ebola Dollars, But We Blame the GOP. Well, that's what I've been doing all week. I've been blaming the GOP. The study examining why
that
lesbians...
That was a dramatic pause.
I know, totally. It has to be, because I've been blaming them. Lesbians confront higher rates of obesity. The research is in line with other demographic studies examining public health challenges. But Erickson only seized on the study to wage a demagogic...
Don't I lie? That's good.
Well, attack on the agency. For frivolously studying the propensity of lesbians to be fat.
I don't think we can blame lesbians for the weight. I think this is an indictment of Sizzler.
Perhaps. Because they do have a
salad bar.
Their
salad bar.
Well, it's delightful, but it's really more about the bread.
It just leads to unhealthy choices.
All around.
I know. Ebola or go to Sizzler. Again, I'm
telling
torn.
You.
Can I see the Ebola patient again?
Yeah. Please.
Are they well fed?
Home of Ebola.
It looks like a good weight loss plan.
So now, you know, he kind of also attacked research on gun violence and smoking cessation. But, you know, those are probably all attached to fat lesbians, too. Erickson ranks among the most obnoxiously homophobic conservative commentators. This Fox News contributor has asserted that gay people are on the road to hell and accused businesses that serve LGBTQRSV consumers of aiding and abetting sin.
First of all, if you put that
in your fat lesbian Ebola pocket is what I'm saying.
Come
right
on. If we're on the road to hell, I'm not driving. You know what I mean?
Well, no, you'd have a panic attack.
Well, unless, of course, it's probably windy.
It's windy, you might be. I love that.
We thought that when we got to Puerto Rico and a hurricane came, like, it's because of the gays.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Anything that's because of the gays.
Absolutely. So, homo, fama, bola. Just remember that. Hashtag.
And my favorite fun thing is we're going to stop all flights from West Africa to the United States. Okay, first find one. Okay. You can't even get a direct flight from Phoenix to Des Moines. You think you're going to get a plane ticket from Cameroon to JFK? It ain't happening, girl.
Not going to happen. Nope.
Mm-mm. You're going to have a layover. You're like two stops. You're going to drop off the mail with Southwest Airlines and go through Nashville, Tennessee to get to Vegas. Motherfuckers. People are so goddamn Ebola stupid. I'm in the mood to drink, kids.
I'm going to skip this one story. I'm going to go around.
Can I backtrack for just a second?
Sure you can.
I think we really thought that the marriage thing would be like more of a thing, but it's kind of like so... All right, like it's been happening so much, and we've been talking about it for so many years that the states are just falling. We're at 31, and kind of like
32,
that's what,
I think.
Until you have a personal story. Wyoming 32.
Mm-hmm. 32.
But it just in Alaska, I can see gay marriage from my house.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
It's just so funny that it's kind of become a non.
Well, it's got
issue.
Well, and it's going.
I mean,
exactly,
it's a huge thing,
right? But
it's like. Jesus.
But the inevitability is so...
I mean, for real, it's like a fat lesbian. It's just going to happen.
Exactly, and she's going to have a
Ebola. She's going to have Ebola.
I have so many things to say to that, but I cannot...
Oh, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Oh, have you watched the translation?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
Did you see it on John Oliver?
I did, but then I went and found it. And they do it with all different songs. They take a song and they translate it into Japanese for karaoke, and then they translate it back. And those of us that do karaoke know.
It's never right.
It's never right. Like La Isla Bonita, because it's the big songs get American karaoke versions, but a lot of them come straight from Japan, and they've been translated two or three times.
That's
so when you get Madonna singing in like Spanglish being translated to Japanese and back, it's just a delight.
I've long loved the karaoke lyrics.
Awesome.
Yeah, but the Let It Go one where they have the girl singing it, and it's like, what is it? Give it up.
I like when they do this fuck it all.
Erin has that one. She's told me that one's funny.
Oh, my God.
Very funny.
And yes, Erin, when you come to visit in the spring to see your mom, you come right over here, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an update on a tragic mess going on in Thousand Oaks, California. A woman who was stuck in a chimney in the of a Southern California house has been rescued. and arrested. Ventura County Fire Captain Ron Oatman says firefighters responded to a neighbor's reports of a woman crying, and they had to chisel away much of the chimney and lubricate it with dish soap Sunday to free a 30-year-old woman named Genevieve Nunez Figueroa. The Ventura County Star reports that she was arrested on suspicion of illegal entry and giving false information to police. Police say Nunez Figueroa knows the owner of the home in Thousand Oaks, who wasn't there at the time. They wouldn't elaborate any more on that, but according to the video from KTLA, the homeowner identified the woman as someone that he had met online and had dated. He told KTLA that that he had cut off their relationship, and here's my favorite word. Here's what he had to say when interviewed about this breaking injury.
And he wasn't home at the time.
Yeah, I hope she gets help. I hope she stays offline, you know. even if she was online, people are probably going to know who she is now. So, you know, you're welcome. You know.
I don't remember thanking him, but all right, you're welcome.
I thought you were talking about Renee Zellweger. She had no chopping away.
She had no clear injuries, but was taken to a hospital for evaluation. I'm going to guess the mental evaluation.
Yeah, exactly.
Police didn't know if she had yet hired an attorney, and no phone listing for her could be found. Oatman says the firefighters destroyed the chimney and damaged sections of the roof.
They pulled her out with a crane.
They
test her for Ebola?
I don't know that.
This is my favorite part of it. That's her hands.
That's the shot down the chimney. While she was trying to slither down.
Lift up your hands.
But when they pulled her up
Let it go.
They pulled her up.
Just looking down from the top.
Yeah.
Thank God, because I was like, did she go down face first?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
No, she.
She may have.
This is going down today.
When they. You're going down today. When they pulled her out of that chimney, she was as black as the Ace of Spades.
She sure was. She was and she's Latino.
Yeah.
She'd have gotten pulled over here.
The one that John Oliver played was Give Up
yep.
on the waves of radiation.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I love that she had to be lubricated with dish soap.
Hmm?
I mean, for real.
That's a man that's not sharing any toys. Yes, I masturbate, but you're still using dish soap.
That's right. I mean,
Jimmy.
I'm busy in the living room giving myself Ebola, but you're still going to use the dish soap to get the fat chick out of the chimney.
At the very top, they used, it looks like Mary Poppins. Is that correct?
That is Mary Poppins. The reason it looks like it's because it's her.
No, I know, but with the...
I don't think they were singing Chim Chimmery, right. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, yeah.
And that's her without the black face.
Oh, she's pretty.
Yeah.
Not really.
I'm batshit crazy. Mm-hmm.
She's 20 early.
She's 28.
28 years old.
She's a fucking nutcase.
But the guy.
Wasn't unattractive.
Oh, he's a cute guy. The guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a cute guy.
He's a cute guy. Yeah, he was.
Cute guy.
He was cute. The guy
cute
that
guy.
I played the audio clip from.
Yeah, right. But God
that's
bless
my
him.
New hashtag. Yeah. Hashtag
he's a cuta guy.
Cuta
guy up. Time for him to start.
Read your
I think you should stick a spud in it.
Ebola, good game.
Read your Ebola. Read your Ebola story, Marnie.
Ebola 200, so, Ebola 300.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ebola.
I think you should stick a spud in it. At least in Honda, Colombia, also known as Florida. The story very much reminded me of something that could happen in Florida. Some consider a potato to be a delicacy, served fried,
someone who's never seen food before.
Or even raw. But a Columbia resident found it best to be used as a contraceptive. Medical staff in Honda were stunned when a 22-year-old woman walked into their clinic and explained the reasoning for her frequent abdominal pains that she had been having.
My ruffles have ridges.
For her pleasure.
What were those potato chips that have leakage?
Anal leakage, yeah. Olay! It means my ass is leaking.
Sun chips, I believe.
Oh, I think you are correct. They were tasty.
Oh. No.
Until you realized you were sitting up with your own ass wet.
My.
Ebola.
The young woman went to the doctor and told him that she had a potato inserted into her vagina, as you do.
Like, are we talking like an Idaho potato or like a little Washington potato?
She was in Colombia.
She
was in Colombia. I'm not sure.
It was like a little red spud.
It's a bag. It's a bag of cocaine. This is a story about a bag of cocaine.
Was it one of those little Klondikes?
Maybe.
I feel like we're lost in euphemisms here.
She said that her mother had advised her that by doing this, she would avoid any kind of unwanted pregnancy.
Sure, that's where she came from.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You might get the potato in my scooter. Out of your yeah.
Plot.
You
need a bigger potato.
You need all gratin. After roughly 2 weeks,
that would smell terrible.
Oh, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. The woman began to experience extreme pain from her lower abdominal region.
It was growing.
And that's when the medical staff
examined her.
The eyes of the potato.
And they found they were looking everywhere. And they found out that the potato had germinated and grown roots. Like,
show me on
really?
The potato.
What's happening? What's
show that? Me on the potato where it hurts.
Here's a list of potatoes. Which one did you insert in your vagina?
The one that looks like a Colombian man or a Puerto Rican man. Wow.
Jose, is that you?
How much fun are you having?
Oh, my God.
I think on the right, she's smiley and happy.
Right.
That's on the leftmost potato.
Center, she's just annoyed.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's one of these potatoes.
Or something. Because it grew roots.
Oh, no, it did, really?
Inside of her vaginal area. Of course it did.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the acidic of the body might have thwarted that.
The nurse didn't believe it.
Wow, Dan.
Thought it was some kind of fucking joke. Ebola! Thought it was some kind of a joke.
Somebody learned a word from Jamboree tonight.
What?
Did I say thwarted? I didn't realize I said it.
I thought you meant it as a joke.
No, I did not. I didn't realize I said it. It just was organic.
Hey, Tyler's back!
It's organic.
Hi, Tyler.
Tyler, are you drinking because of student-teacher conferences?
Apparently. Luckily, this woman will not have any lasting effect. She was able to have the potato removed.
She'll have a garden. What's a lasting effect? Fries, julienne.
Maybe.
She's got the scissor buffet up in her cooter.
Now, everyone should keep in mind that a mother's advice is not to be taken lightly, but in this case, the daughter would have been better off taking it with a grain of salt.
Oh, maybe a pat of butter.
They want to put salt in there.
Well,
salt my cooter.
Give them all a little peanut butter.
Salt my cooter, honey. Salt my cooter.
Okay.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes,
Ebola.
It is not. Okay. I'm going down from Ebola. It's not going to be from a potato up my hoo-ha.
You don't
getting it the old-fashioned way at my grandma's funeral.
Well, I'm thinking, depending on the size of the potato, if she's using it for contraception.
Yeah. Well, it's plugging the hole.
But depending on how much time it took her to get in, it's hot dog down a hallway. I mean, the next guy that comes along is going to be like,
oh, yeah.
You're just hitting the...
I feel like the other end of the mine shaft being pressed open.
Oh, my God. That was so awkward.
Is it just me?
Is there a canary in here? You got a what?
Do you need me to
move? I got to go. I got shit to do.
Do you need me to move? Fucking Abby.
Would you like some potato chips?
For the road?
I mean, okay. Sure.
They're a little soggy. They've been up there a while.
That's fine.
We have various flavors.
We got spuds in the kitchen.
It's not my first day.
The best one used by date of my labia since about 3 weeks ago.
Before it roots.
Yeah. I got me some roots.
I'm making my own dip. Oh, hold on a minute.
Oh, come on.
I like it. Soft in the
peanut onion. With just a touch of Ebola.
Ebola.
Are those scoops? Those are so good. Get more guac in the scoop.
Opinions expressed on this show do not reflect the opinions of all of the parties.
Never has, never will.
She cleaves out some guacamole every once in a while.
I smell lays. What's that?
Oh, God.
We've listened to so many things that are better than it, that are worse than Ebola.
Yeah.
Just for that one story.
Yeah. Yeah. Potato taking root in the uterus.
Also, I don't think the anal leakage was Sun Chips.
It was totally Sun Chips.
It was not. I don't believe it was.
Only there was a way.
It's a potato chip.
She's looking it up, for God's sakes. In the meantime, let's move on. Oh, to the lovely land of Michigan.
Love it.
Ma, Michigan. What?
Soft in the cooter.
I know. Is this what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly where I'm going.
This is the funniest.
You might have more. Let me read through this, and you may have more. One is a building with bars, and the other is a building with a bar. A very drunk woman apparently had trouble telling them apart and ended up in a southwestern Michigan jail cell. The Van Buren County Sheriff's Department says a 39-year-old woman mistook the Van Buren County Jail for a bar where she said she was trying to pick up her boyfriend. The department says the deputy, Robert Miersma, spotted the Hartford area woman backing into the jail parking lot in Paw Paw, Michigan, about 2 a.m. on Sunday, and noticed that she smelled of alcohol and appeared wasted. It says that a breath test showed that with more than twice the...
Bake Lays.
She was more than twice the legal limit to be drunk in Michigan. She expected, she is expected to face drunk driving charges. For those of you wondering, Pawpaw is about 15 miles west of southwest of Kalamazoo, Michigan. Do you have anything else in that story?
Not really. I mean, how can you have more?
Do you show up? Go get my boyfriend and a six pack of beer.
Excuse me. Do you sell off sale?
You're already decorated.
You got lots everywhere. Why are we making them from the south?
I have a feeling they would be if they could.
Well, I think she was, because she was a visitor, apparently. But, oh, my God, one thing is for sure, though, this will be one story for the grandkids, but only once you're 21.
Now, if she's got a potato in her hoo-ha.
She'll have to make do with stories of confusing the ice cream truck for the portable library.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought that was fantastic. You won't like what they're serving, so don't go there. Don't go to the jail.
Three hots and a cotton. You got some cuties
right.
in there.
I'm pretty sure the
according
Don
to Dion Brown every Friday's update, there's some hotties.
Friday
felon. Some of them frighten me more.
No. I got to tell you, there wasn't one on there that I wouldn't been like, all right.
Well, maybe.
This is my third glass of wine. Sure.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, continue on. I have one more and we're
fabulous.
Moving on.
Oh, honey, if you can't tell.
Well, I see a good one. So we'll go with Ebola.
Okay.
Ebola!
That way we can say it a lot. It's making me laugh how many people are freaking the fuck out. And not because it's not something to freak out about. Not because it's something to not pay attention to.
Freak back in.
But for the love of God. Like, we don't have any idea. We don't know who got off a plane in Liberia or landed in JFK and then flew to Minnesota or Montana or nobody has
any
idea.
And if you're a regular listener to the show, you are so ready for the zombie apocalypse.
Absolutely.
We have done nothing but prepare.
I am ready to start looting any minute.
I know
I'm
you
set.
Are. I know. I
need a big screen TV. So I just need someone to yell Ebola. I'm breaking through the window. I'm grabbing my TV. I'm gone. And I'm white, so they're not going to call me a looter. They're going to call me a conscientious objector.
A prepared citizen.
Yeah, Fox News is going to make me a fucking hero.
Yeah.
I'm bald and white. Yeah. I look like a red. You know
just
what I mean?
Just keep your hands in the air, Ted Nugent follower. anyway, there are five schools that are now freaking out about Ebola because they don't realize that Africa is a really big continent. Right? And so people are just so fucking stupid about this. I'm not good at geography, but even I knew that. So in the midst of this Ebola panic, there are some Americans that are worried about school children coming in contact with people who have been in African countries thousands of miles away from where the heart of the outbreak is. In New Burlington, New Jersey, two Rwandan students are staying home due to other parents' fears that they will infect other children with Ebola. Rwanda is as close to the Ebola outbreak as New York City is to Seattle, right?
Oh.
So people are just not paying attention. And
this,
in Hazelhurst,
this goes on where I work.
I
where
can
because,
believe that.
We have a coworker that lives in Kenya.
Okay.
And he's going home for Christmas. And everyone's like, aren't you worried about Ebola? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no. Okay. And there was a whole conversation at work overnight about why was he going home? I'm like, okay, people, we are going to sit down at the computer and we're going to have a geography lesson. And part of it is Americans' fault because
absolutely
our maps were made so that Africa didn't look as big, so people don't realize you can fit like the America, South
absolutely.
America, and Europe on that continent.
Yep.
I'm like, that's like being worried about going to New York because someone in California has a cold.
Yeah,
like you're really not paying attention to where he's from, and you're being a little insensitive.
But turn on the news of everything.
Right, but
everything
my coworker,
is,
who's from Cameroon, there's the one you should be worried about because she has a French accent. No one realizes, she's closer to the hot zone. He's nowhere near it.
Sure.
And very careful and loves his children, would not put them in danger.
Of course. Yeah,
but
that's
it all just cracks me up. Like,
that's what is happening a lot. In Hazelhurst, Mississippi, the school principal's recent visit to Zambia has led to a lot of
somebody from Africa is going to come to Mississippi
exactly,
on purpose.
Right?
Because they've seen no movies or
no,
history.
No, exactly. Has led to a lot of parents choosing to keep their kids home. But Zambia is in southern Africa, over 3,000 miles away from the Ebola outbreak, the same distance between New Hampshire and Los Angeles. A school bus driver in Poplarville, Mississippi, who recently visited Ghana, is being prevented from returning to work.
Now, Ghana, I don't know where it is. That's one I would have to explain ignorance on Ghana.
No. And I'm completely with you, but there is a map, and I will hand that out in a second. He's being prevented from returning to work. Meanwhile, in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, as typically it is, some parents kept their kids home when the school hosted two visitors from Uganda. This phenomenon is not limited to the U.S. A school in Worcester, England, is under pressure to cancel an upcoming trip to Tanzania. These incidents, which all took place at schools, illustrate a very poor understanding of African
Tanzania
geography.
Is an island.
It is. So it has the heart of the Ebola crisis. Is Liberia and Sierra Leone.
And Cameroon is right in that little corner. Cameroon is on the coast.
In here.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tanzania, Uganda, Zambia, Ghana. These are 1,051 miles away, 3,266 miles away. You know, I mean, it's quite a ways. It's the second.
And now two countries have now, they're Ebola free and they're banning U.S. travel. They're banning U.S.
Us
citizens.
To go? Yeah. I love it.
People from Spain and people from the U.S. can't go into, I think it's Sierra Leone.
Okay.
They just put up a travel ban because, like, no, we got rid of this shit.
Yeah,
you're not coming back.
You stay out.
And I think that the time to worry is when the troops leave.
Yeah.
The troops that have been deployed there to help and manage the crisis, I think when the troops come home, there might be some legitimate concern about troops coming back from the area that may have been accidentally, like, in harm's way.
Absolutely.
And there might be fears of quarantine. But I think, I mean,
absolutely. But
and you know me.
I
read The Stand. I watch all the zombie movies. Even I'm like, settle the fuck down.
But that's where it's been so, like, Ebola-fied. The idea that people are just fucking going crazy. We honestly don't know. We don't know. And they're not listing things. So people are getting off a plane. Like I said, we don't know who came to Phoenix from the same plane that the gentleman in Dallas who passed away. We don't know.
Right.
So, panic. Just panic. That it's not unusual for Americans to classify it as a single entity, Africa, ignoring that many cultural and economic and geographic differences between 47 countries.
What's her face? Thought it was a country. Sarah fucking Palin thought it was the country of Africa.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's right. It's not a surprise. If three countries in Africa are going through an Ebola epidemic, the other 44 must be too, right? So, Liberian immigrants in the U.S., this is what we're doing to people, are being refused service at restaurants and dropped from charity programs. May I just throw out, how do you know they're from Liberia? You come into a restaurant, you're like, where are you from?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake. Fox News, weird, recently suggested that the people coming into the United States from Africa will seek medical care from witch doctors and practice Santeria. Of course they will.
Good Lord.
Come on.
If, for any reason, I contracted Ebola, I would walk to New York to go to Fox Studios and just rub myself against all of them.
Shit all over their lawn.
Just jack off on Shepard Smith's face and then rub it all over that half of
my
fish.
Many other people have, so why not?
I know. Get in line, lady.
Yeah, right? You ain't new to that hayride.
You're not the first one to jack up on his face. You're just the first one to, you know, get here by foot.
Do you mean
not get paid to do it on his face. I'm sure. Ooh. I'm sure that there's been a couple dollars spent for that one.
Yeah. There you have it. I like it.
The sweetest thing that is the movie.
It is. Yeah.
I could not think of the name of the movie.
I could actually see him like spitting the chips out in my mind.
Oh my God, that's right.
All right, we'll wrap up our headline set with this final one because we have no choice. We have to go to Florida for this. Hammock Dunes, Florida. Well,
there you have it.
A dream beach house in Florida has turned.
I gotta pee. I gotta go get my bowl in your toilet.
I have bleach tabs.
We don't know that that'll work.
A dream beach house in Florida has turned into a nightmare for a Missouri couple, oddly. 6 months after the custom house was built along the Atlantic Ocean near Palm Coast, Mark and Brenda Voss learned it was built on the wrong lot. Mark Voss tells the Daytona Beach News Journal that they are in total disbelief. The couple own 18 other residential lots in the community. They bought the lot in question in 2012 and then hired a company called Keystone Homes to build a three-story, 5,000-square-foot vacation rental. But it was instead built on the lot next to the one that they own, which is owned by an entirely different couple from North Carolina. The boss has hired a lawyer, and Keystone Vice President Robbie Richmond says that the company is trying to negotiate a settlement between the lot owners and other parties involved. How would that suck?
Oh, yeah, because the other people were going to build like a little lean-to.
Right. Right, just build a little
tiny
shack,
little thing.
Tar paper shack.
Right.
Now they got planned to a fight.
You know what, though? Oh. Before Honey Boo Boo got there, I used to watch a lot of TLC.
I love it.
The Learning Channel. I learned about Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Before
and
she
I
got there,
to stop watching
there
it.
Was really fun shit. And there used to be a show, something about like move my house or move this house, about where they would actually pick up entire houses
yeah,
and
I've
like
seen
move
those.
Them. So
yeah.
I'm hoping
live in a trailer.
But I don't.
No. Legitimate, like, built houses on a foundation. There's a whole. Yes, you are.
On your
yes, you are. You build the whole foundation underneath and
you jack it up and you put on a trailer and you move the entire house
so I'm really
slowly.
Just, I'm hoping that these folks have an option for that.
I don't know.
I don't want to hear any more about your voodoo and wizardry. This is bullshit.
That's Santeria to you, fine sir. Ebola panic.
I'm going
to
name my baby Ebola Santeria.
For a couple of weeks, every time I think of you, I'm going to think, Puerto Rico.
You lovely island.
Yeah.
I feel pretty and witty and gay. Let's just say it.
Well.
Well, two out of three ain't bad.
Happy Tuesday.
Can't tell.
Yeah.
I know everyone's comfortable because I just went and got a napkin from the.
Well, I turned up because it was getting hot in here.
No, it is. No.
We only have an hour and 10 minutes here.
But you know if I'm comfortable that the rest of you are sweating like hogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Hogs.
All right, we're going to wrap that up. We are running really late, but it's all good. We're
going to start. I'll be quick.
We'll start it with this because it's Al Perkins and entertainment stuff.
I've been out of the country or in another country or in a foreign land. So just deal with it.
And the hurricane's blowing.
Yes.
And the population growing. Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay. Murder. The Walking Dead. Still no cancellations this season except on the major four or five. American Horror Story. Couple deaths. A couple of renewals, and then something happened to Renee Zellweger's face that people have a lot of questions about.
Hola!
And yes. I have your Oscar movie. I think I have the movie that you need to see for the Oscars.
Mm.
It may or may not win, but honest to God, the movie you need to find, and somebody has to Google it real fast, it's Michael Keaton. It's called Birdman, but parenthetically, it's got a really, really funny parenthetical title. But Birdman is by the guy that gave us 21 Grams and Babel, and it's his attempt at a lighter film, and it's about a man that Michael Keaton's really trying to play it down that he used to be Batman, but it's about
the unexpected virtue of ignorance.
Yeah, the unexpected virtue of ignorance.
Okay.
And it's about a man who's trying to revitalize his career years after he played a superhero in a big franchise, and Michael Keaton is trying to downplay that he doesn't really identify with the movie, but all reviews, stories are that this is the movie to see, and it's by the guy that gave us the cinematography. Well, it's by the guy that gave us 21 Grams and Babel in Iñárritu, I think is his last name. But the cinematographer is the guy that Alfonso Cuarón uses for he used for Children of Men, and this is another tricky, complicated thing where it looks like it's all one take. So you have like a 95-minute movie where it looks like it's all interrupted and all in one take. So very ballsy, so a little bit of artsy, a little bit of fun, a little bit of like inside baseball about Hollywood and Broadway. Great cast. It looks really, really good, and it really is the movie to see. It's kind of Oscar bait, but everyone is saying that it's very good.
The first five people that it's showing on here, Michael Keaton, Emma Stone, Edward Norton, Naomi Watts, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, and just great cast, that, great director, them. Great cinematographer, and from all the reviews have been stellar. And this movie's been kind of bubbling up since the spring, and now it's out. It's in limited release. I think it's New York and L.A. and maybe one other city, and it's gonna keep going wide, and it's all going to be on word of mouth because seriously, everyone's going to be talking about this movie by Christmas time.
Oh, cool.
So much fun. So the weird thing is that we are now 4 weeks into the season of television, a little bit longer because a couple shows debuted a little bit earlier, and there has not, on the major four or five, if you count the CW, I do not, because I passed puberty. But
I love it, girl. I do not.
But there has not been a cancellation yet, and everyone is shocked because we're like 3 weeks past. We're like, you know, a show is terrible out of the gate, and they chop it off and put something else in. So no one knows why, and there's a lot of speculation, but nothing's been canceled yet. Mulaney, whatever his name is, the show that I had the highest hopes for, which was a giant fucking Ebola-laced turd. I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was like Seinfeld without
any kind of joy. It was terrible.
Without content.
Great cast, great writers, and that show just laid there like bib lettuce. It was terrible. But so even that wasn't canceled. They just cut it back to 13 episodes from 16. They just cut down the order. But on FX, because FX is all cocky now, The Bridge got canceled. So those of you who were following the American version of The Bridge, where it actually made more sense than the and I, because I'm not from Norway, I think Norway was the original.
You're
country.
Not?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
surprisingly,
I did not realize. Thanks for that update.
Weird. But the original version of The Bridge was like a Norwegian TV series. I think it was Norway or Sweden. It didn't make a lot of sense because they didn't get the context. But when they brought the story to the American-Mexican border and a bridge that goes between the two countries, that all of a sudden, it had a little bit more urgency, and it had Damien Bashir, who's a fantastic actor, but that was canceled. And Harrison was watching that, so I felt bad. So that's gone.
Sorry, Harrison.
Okay, let me see, because we're going to get to that last thing last. And then renewals. American Horror Story, before it even aired, was renewed. Yeah. Actually, or they were like 2 minutes into this season, they were like,
sign.
Renew that
sign.
Shit.
Yeah. Sign.
If you're not watching American Horror Story, okay, everything that was wrong with last season where it wasn't scary and it was just campy and it was just stupid and pointless, it is fucking terrifying, and you turn it off. I have to turn it off. I have to take breaks and go look at flowers and go find a happy place.
I'm so intrigued.
A serial killer fucking clown in it. That is so motherfucking scary, and that mask is horrible. Everything about him is horrible. And he starts off as a clown doing little tricks, and then he like beats you with a club or stabs you or cuts your face off.
Oh.
And he's captured people. And it's like there's like three different stories going on, and some of them are like interesting, like soap opery about carny folk in the 50s in Jupiter, Florida, and the rest is about this scary fucking clown murdering people. And then there's a third story about what's her name, the mother from 6 Feet Under, Frances Conroy, and her overly privileged son, and like she's trying to amuse him, but he's clearly disturbed and on his way to being a serial killer in the 50s in Florida, and how he fits into the story of the freaks and the scary clown. I wanted to move. I no longer wanted to live in the house that showed them. But I can't wait till tomorrow to watch the next episode.
I'm not sure if I can do it, because the first season I had to turn it. I had to stop. I was like seven episodes in, and I was like, I cannot sleep. I cannot be here. I can't even look at this iPad that I'm watching this on. I threw it out of my house. I was like,
the Halloween episode this year is, and the Halloween episode of that first season was so terrifying. That's where we learned the new rule of sitting on the coffee table where I could see all exits with the lights all on, and only in broad daylight. The sun has to be on the full arc of the rise, like the dog howls thrice at the moon kind of thing.
I used to watch it in bed like this.
Thwarted and thrice.
No, there's a really funny thing. I don't know if it's from The Onion. Mark and Shane showed it to me, but it's the 10 signs that your husband is cheating on you, and you're expecting it to be like perfume on his collar and all this stuff, but it's the hound howls thrice at the moon. It is one of the funniest. Just Google 10 signs that your husband is cheating on you, or Google the hound howls thrice at the moon, and you'll shit your fucking pants at the signs that your husband is cheating on you. But it got renewed, and I may have had to change my underwear twice.
It's good to be clean.
Okay.
It is.
The Walking Dead went them one better and renewed themselves for season 6 before season 5 even had 1 second on the air. Now, the only thing I watched the entire week on TV, except for my Wolf Blitzer experience, and that was because I was almost burned alive on the upstairs patio, that I was like, I need to get inside and watch TV where God intended me to be.
Right.
I did it nude. I was in my nude. That was very exciting. I know. I laid up because it was a private patio. I'm like, why not take it? Because I'm here all alone. I'm miles above the surface of the earth. Take your clothes off.
Well,
it's hard to get sunblock on your ass.
I hope.
I bet we're going to leave.
And
that
don't miss any.
No. Yeah.
No.
Hope there was no
the potato went in first. I'm just telling you.
Hope there was no Google flyovers.
Show me on the potato.
Show me on Al.
Show me where you touched the potato.
It's hard to get the Ebola all up in there.
Show me on Al where the potato was lost.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was not the question. That was not the question.
Is there more of that popcorn in there?
I mean,
we're 10 days and some yeast away from au gratin.
What the hell is smart food? It seems smart to me.
What's that awful disease of Gondia?
It's twice baked.
Anyway,
Ebola.
Yeah, Ebola. What's the Giardia? What's that awful one that bruise in your stomach? Anyway.
Oh.
Okay, now
Giardia, I think.
If you're not, yeah, that's it. If you're not watching it, please start tomorrow. You utilize all the tools available at your disposal. How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, my God.
I
okay,
love
first
it.
First off, it's gay porn.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
As an afterthought, so there's an interesting murder mystery happening in between seriously, America at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays has learned so much about analingus that I...
Wow.
They did not even subtly hint at the fact that in the first episode he ate his ass. Like, it was...
A lot.
Barely... It was kind of subtle that he ate his ass.
Not
his tongue went down his backside, and right when he got to the crack, cut to commercial, breaking news, CNN. Somebody's licking someone's ass.
Ebola!
Ebola! So,
this just in.
No.
Well, in a lot of ways.
People that have known me for a long time know that at Christmas time, I can't wait to watch Bad Santa.
Okay.
Because I fucked her so hard at the ass.
I've never seen it, and you were very mad at me.
She hasn't shit right in a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's such a vulgar joke. And they get the joke in three times. They manage to not just say it as the joke, but then they repeat. I fucked her so hard up the ass she didn't shit right for a week. Three times in a Christmas movie.
Rinse and repeat.
Which makes me just love that movie even more.
Oh,
that's so, not to be outdone, ABC, not AMC, not FX, not two shits and a goddamn. And that's fair loud. I looked it up. If you're on cable, you're allowed two shits and one goddamn and still be on cable networks. That's the rules.
Oh.
Okay.
House of Cards on Netflix, no rules. They can be triple X. There are no rules. They did a three-way and didn't even suggest what would happen between two men and a woman. Orange is the New Black. They do some finger banging. No one really goes down on each other. ABC, 10 o'clock
Scandal.
On Thursday.
Oh, Scandal's doing the same thing.
Oh, no. Are you ready for this line? I wrote it down.
Oh, please do.
He did things to my ass that made my He did things to my ass that made my eyes water. Now the whole promo for the week
That's
was
true.
Watch the last nine words of How to Get Away with Murder. You'll be tweeting all week. Get ready to retweet. Get ready for the last nine words.
I got 12.
One, two, right. So when he said, I'm like, well, we're not at the end of the show, and he
I have
just,
nine.
And the guy's on the phone. He's like, did you do it? He's like, oh my God. He's like, that guy did things to my ass that made my eyes water on ABC television. That hesitated to have Roseanne Barr kiss Mariel Hemingway. Mariel Hemingway.
Yeah, Margot's dead.
This was the line uttered. Then they played it back on tape. Then they played it on tape a second time. Three times in one episode, you found out that guy had his ass eaten.
Yeah. Also, the nine words are why
is your penis on a dead girl's phone.
No.
This show, I mean, it is crack cocaine.
It is. I can't.
I cannot believe I have to go to work next Thursday because I just want to watch the show.
I watched all of them yesterday.
Oh, and they're
like,
so good.
So in a line, and then I got done with the last, and I was like. What?
And you know how I love my Glenn Close and Dangerous Liaisons. And the reason she should have an Oscar is when she sits there and
takes off the makeup.
And has the nervous breakdown in front of the mirror taking off the makeup. Well, Viola Davis knows what wins Oscars or loses them in case of Glenn Close.
Yeah.
And she did the whole scene where when she realizes what's going on, and she
the
takes off the makeup, takes off her wig, takes off the eyelashes, and then in full on Viola Davis, like Noxzema commercial, just looks at her husband and says, why is your penis on a dead girl's phone? I was like, oh my God, I love ABC
Seriously, it's so good. So, I was so mad when I had to delete. I was like, but there's not another one right now.
This is what I'm doing tomorrow.
Oh, done and
so
done.
All calling in sick. Scandal?
Oh, I'm totally caught up on Scandal. I love Scandal.
But I gotta tell you, I was hesitating to go to Scandal, but now that I know and it's not Shonda Rhimes. This is her little underling. This is her fledgling that's doing this. Oh, and we're gonna go. So we only got two things, and then we'll move on.
Just a crossover. No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, now is the murder show done in beautiful HD like they did for Ugly Betty?
Gorgeous. Well, no, but because it's dark and murdery, it's not in the bright sunshiny colors of that. But ABC, you can find every dollar in these TV shows. One of them left some guy's ass with the Ebola.
Oh.
Absolutely.
And
it made his eyes water. That's all I said.
Oh, my God. I'm still shocked. I'm still blushing.
I'm going to find that line.
I'm going to
find that episode. We'll watch it again later. It's the beginning of what's going to be hour three for us on this Tuesday night. Coming back with some owls. Got some more.
By.
And then Kat's got a couple things and thoughtful vulgarity about Ebola. And then that'll be the end of it. So stick around. We'll be back moments from now right here. It's Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It's the beginning of hour three for us here in the old Studio C in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for being with us. Oh, my heavens, we've talked about so many things and something about eyes watering and analingus. Maybe that'll be the
salad
title.
Salad dressing.
Tossing salad, lemons, or something. I lose track. But we're in the middle of Al Perkins' segment. We call it entertainment. Now it's going to continue on.
We call it entertainment. But it's really Ebola.
Here's Al Perkins once again.
All right. Wait, that's the wrong page. I just went back to the... And for those of you that don't listen all the time, I can't do the entertainment section and read your comments, so I'll get to you. Settle down.
Calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down. Oh, what the hell is that page? Okay, here we go. So, we're almost done. So, my ass is watering.
I thought your eyes were watering.
Same thing. Okay. He did things to my eyes. He did things to my eyes that made my ass water.
Completely
those
possible.
He made me look at chips.
It's all about the anal leakage,
he made me look at the anal leakage strip. Okay.
Oh. Jeez.
I already talked about that. Okay, so we'll do one thing before we go to the dead. We'll start with The Walking Dead. Okay, so The Walking Dead, and I don't know why we're surprised. What are we, like year six of this fucking show?
no. Coming up on three in spring.
I think he meant The Walking Dead.
Oh.
No, I didn't know this show, because we've been talking about The Walking Dead since I started watching it. Okay, The Walking Dead, highest rated show on TV, and this week it actually did it. It beat Sunday Night Football, and then the second week was a little bit better game, and it tied Sunday Night Football, but then in like the 18 to 49 demographic that they want, blew away the competition.
Ah.
Okay, now, The Walking Dead can be a character study, and sometimes people finding a little boring that there's a show that's supposed to be about zombies, and you're having, like, great acting and great writing, and you're just talking about, like, your life pre-post-apocalypse and what your, you know, little humanity plays. Oh, no. Did we throw that shit out the window? And the guy that writes that he's the showrunner, the guy that wrote those two very, well, one very thoughtful episode and one that's, you know, it's called Pretty Much Dead Already, which is the greatest episode of television I've ever seen. I call it She's Dead in the Barn.
that was my last girlfriend.
But it's honest to God.
Hello.
So anyway, the one that wrote the Pretty Much Dead Already, which is seriously the greatest episode of television I have ever seen, and the culmination of, like, all the episodes.
Is that the Sophia's in the Barn?
Yeah, Sophia's in the Barn. Yeah. I don't like to give away who's in the barn in case you're getting there, but by the time they get to the barn, you've already forgotten everything I said.
Yeah.
They had that season premiere, and I watched it on this little device in Puerto Rico in the middle of the night because the power was out, but I was able to download and get it to here off iTunes.
Oh, you paid for it?
Yeah. Okay. I paid my $1.99 through iTunes because they were talking about they were going to have it on iTunes. So I got it through took like a day and a half to load. I watched it in the middle of the night. Scared the bee fucking Jesus out of me. Oh, my God. So graphic. So violent. And there's now the Universal Studios has their haunted house tour. Well, Universal Studios is The Walking Dead. And they're very disturbed. The makers of The Walking Dead, the producers, are very disturbed that children are coming as they don't say zombies on the show. They call them walkers. That there's children coming to Universal Studios dressed as walkers, and they're putting out, I mean, everybody's being very clear about this season of television. This is not family television.
No.
If for some reason you think watching this with your kids is a good idea, this is the season where we're going to do stuff that should not be done on TV, like things to your ass that make your eyes water or inject your potato Ebola. So, and they were not fucking around. I was so disturbed. And I was sitting there in the dark with no power watching that thing on the iPad. And I was ready to lose my fuck. I was so disturbed, upset. It has, like, it's so graphic and so, like, perfectly scary. Like, you pay, like, $15 in a movie theater to see this level of, like, horror, and then nothing's as good as this writing. And then the second episode, just as good. And I'm like, they're out of the park. Like, this is the reason it's the highest rated show on TV. Like, this shit, start from the beginning, pack it in, just watch. They are not letting you down. It's just amazing. And a gasp, scream out loud moment at the end of the this last episode that I guess the comic book readers know it, but with a different character, so they weren't expecting it either, because the character that it happens to died a long time ago in the TV show, but he'd last longer in the comic books. And I screamed. I watched it at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, ah! What's fucking wrong with people? Ebola.
I have to tell you, like, to watch a movie with him would be hysterical. Like, for
because I'd scream.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Okay. That would be awesome.
And I went on a date with a guy, and he's very nice. And we went on the date, and it was World War Z. And he was expecting me to, like, scream and be all into it. I wasn't expecting World War Z to be that good of a movie. Okay. So I just, like, sat forward, and I was riveted. He was like, there was no screaming. There was no talking. He's like, it was kind of boring to go to this movie. I'm like, the movie was great. What do you mean you were bored? He's like, well, you were into it, but I was waiting for you to do something besides, like, jump occasionally. I'm like, oh, well, we'll pick a different movie. But that was a funny date where he was, like, watching me while I'm watching the movie. I'm like, watch the screen. It's a good movie.
Like, my eyes are over here.
Right. Look up.
Exactly.
Happens to me all the time.
Don't look right at my Ebola.
No potatoes here.
Yeah, exactly. They're on my cooter.
I got no room.
Oscar De La Renta died yesterday or the day before.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Mm-hmm. One of the most iconic fashion designers in history. Like, this guy has done just everything. First mm-hmm. ladies, Oscar winners, Barbara Walters, just about everything she wore for the last 20-some years was Oscar De La Renta. And the Oscar dresses, up until like 2 years ago, he was still winning from Joan Rivers, was still
fashion
giving
awards
him fashion awards and stuff. I mean, just an amazing guy. Couple shitty policies and a little bit of a sketchy. Don't scratch that too deep, because there's kind of a crazy person underneath. But it was sad, and I think that's one of like the biggest. There's not very many besides like Gloria Vanderbilt and
those big names,
Michael Kors, like, you know, I mean, there's not a lot that just the name tells you exactly what you're looking for. So that was kind of very sad. And then Jan Hooks.
Yeah,
that was surprising and sad to all of us. And now, have you dug deep enough to find out what happened?
I have not. I was wondering if anybody
I haven't heard.
Had. But the things that they played, and my favorite is the Sweeney Sisters, the Christmas, the bells. Here come the bells, no silver bells. We've actually talked about that episode of Saturday Night Live with William Shatner as the host, mm-hmm. that I was home in New York visiting my family in the early 90s, and they had all gone to bed, and I was sitting alone with the Christmas lights in the living room and watched that episode, and I just, I, you know what I mean, like, there was no VCRs, there was no tricks, I was just watching it live and laughing at skit after skit after skit. It's one of the best episodes ever, but that Sweeney Sisters Bells thing, it's all over Facebook, it's all over YouTube, just Google Sweeney Sister and Bells. And it's genius. And it's Mark Shaman, who's Bette Midler's frequent accompanist.
Oh, sure.
And he wrote Hairspray. He wrote Crybaby. He's a genius. He did all the music for South Park, Louder, Deeper, and Uncut. Mm-hmm. He's the one that taught them the thing, and he's the piano player in the actual skit, giving them the cues. And it's genius. Because it's a beautiful medley, like, except for the fact that they're selling it like lounge singers. Like, if they did that straight, it would be a lovely medley of Christmas songs. But the fact that they turned the Carol of the Bell into a horror story, just good timing.
They have not announced that I can find.
Wikipedia says she had been battling cancer.
Oh, okay. It's just a
For those of you who don't know, obviously, she was on Designing Women. Drew, I see you just posted that in the chat room. So she was on Designing Women later, but she also, if anybody ever saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure, when Pee-wee goes...
Can you say tortilla?
When Pee-wee goes to the Alamo looking for his bike because somebody told him it was in the basement of the Alamo, she's the one who gives the entire tour, and she talks about...
Inez is making a tortilla. Can you say tortilla?
Oh, she's the one that is the entire tour of the Alamo. So that is who Jan Hooks
and
was, in addition.
Alec Baldwin's episode, which is another one of those ones that I watched, just happened to be somewhere where I could catch the whole thing, and they do the diner episode where they're doing all the innuendos about pie and coffee, and it's like a scene study in comedy writing and acting. It's not really, when you watch it, it's kind of like Fargo, where, like, you don't know if you're supposed to laugh out loud, but some of it just strikes you as
comedy kind of stuff.
And then, like, 20 minutes later, you can't stop saying, like, you can't handle my pie. I bet you want a refill. You know what I mean? Like, they're just doing these.
I do remember that.
And it's such a genius skit, but not because you're, like, cracking up at how witty it is, but just how committed they are. And then there's the two tards. I'm allowed to say that. by my own rules.
They are your own rules.
Governor. So that's dead people. And then Renee.
No, not all dead people.
Who else died?
Elizabeth Pena.
Oh, Elizabeth Pena. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly young. 55 years old, playing Sofia Vergara's mother on Modern Family. She was in La Bamba.
She was.
She has been around.
Wasn't she the mom in La Bamba, too?
She was.
Yes. Yep. And this woman has been playing, she's like Elaine Stritch. She's been playing like way too old
for a long time.
But a wonderful actress, and by all accounts, a wonderful person. And
yeah, that was a surprise that she
was. Yeah, and very young, 55, 57.
So now, 55, I wondered about this because I had seen her on Modern Family, but now they've lost a chunk of a storyline that they can run with her mother. Unless they're just going to slip somebody else
it says brief illness. I don't believe that one as well says.
Yeah, they didn't say.
What it was.
And I think they'll handle it on there.
It might have been Ebola.
And I always go back to, it could be Ebola. Ebola! I haven't had a drink in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
We'll blame that.
Be thirsty.
Took down Oscar De La Renta. Why not her?
What? La Bola. I mean, La
Chaim.
La Cabola.
Lick-a-bola.
Lick-a-bola.
So on Murphy Brown, when Colleen Dewhurst, who'd only done a couple of appearances as Murphy Brown's mother, when she died in real life, they were all such fans of Colleen Dewhurst that they did a little tribute to her, and they named Murphy Brown's baby after the character that Colleen Dewhurst had played.
Oh,
and even though she was an integral part of it, they were so. So I'm just wondering if they'll pay that same honor to her.
Hmm?
Here. I mean, I was a huge Colleen Dewhurst fan, so I had my own little private, you know, ceremony, Ebola time. I don't know what the whole point is of this Renee Zellweger thing, but that girl has been stung by 1,000 bees and is clearly allergic to everything around her. And now she's had surgery to erase the bees.
That isn't, that's not
like
the
her.
Same woman. Like, that's crazy.
It's very strange. Like, she had, like, removed the lipo section.
Like, she was pretty on the right.
Yeah, she was. And she was one of those people that some people like her and some people don't. Because she looks,
if you will.
She always looks like she was in the middle of some allergic
you're
reaction.
Making me laugh. I like it.
But,
Are we sure
but
that
I think
that's
she looks older.
Yeah, like, she looks totally older.
I'm like, is that really?
How do we know that's
and
her?
And she got rid of her cheeks? And by the way, wasn't she, like, seriously gaunt? Gauntly thin, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
like,
she did for because she went from chubby to for Bridget Jones's Diary to she got in shape for Chicago and got really thin for Chicago, but then she put it right back on because she was a healthy size again for Cold Mountain where she won her Oscar.
Right, but since then
disappeared off the face of the map. So she's kind
and
of
when, but when she has come up at any of the award shows, I mean, like. Sickly thin.
Yeah, but since
I don't know
since Cold Mountain, she's been a healthy looking girl, but she's had a very low profile. And I think maybe she just thought maybe a change. She's in that age now where you either go the Jessica Lange, Meryl Streep, where all you get is amazing roles, or you go to like the other actresses that kind of like end up doing crazy things to their face and end up selling toilet tissue on the I Shit My Pants Network. You know, you just don't know.
Activia.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's,
have you seen those commercials when you're watching ABC, by the way?
I just have to go back to it just for a second. In the opening episode of American Horror Story, Jessica Lange sings Life on Mars, the David Bowie song. And if you would have told me in 1978 when she was in How to Get Away, How to Beat the High Cost of Living through Francis, that someday an elderly Jessica Lange would be standing on a stage in blue eyeliner singing a David Bowie song, I would have shot you in the head, just called you an Ebola crazed asshole. I really want more wine. It was so surreal and really lovely. Like her version of Life on Mars, I think it's called Life on Mars or I Landed on Mars, just Google that and it's all over because everyone's making a big deal about the fact that she's just standing there in blue eyeshadow singing and it's Jessica fucking Lange. And like, here's this woman, 65, 66 years old. Just at the peak of her career, like just still.
You called her elderly.
Well, she. I mean, come on. Let's just be honest. Like,
she's
65.
Not young, but she's not.
Well, I'm gonna go to.
She's not dead.
I'm gonna go.
I think you're gonna make Thanksgiving a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
my mother.
I'm gonna have to go to. I'm gonna go to Postcards from the Edge here.
Right. Okay.
You're not middle aged, Mom. How many 132 year old women do you know?
God, I forgot that line. That's so funny.
I'm middle-aged.
That's legit.
That's very funny.
We got to go all Meryl Streep on your asses. So that's everything.
Birdman!
That's very entertaining. And I hope you go see Birdman, or what's the subtitle? The Bliss of Being Stupid or something?
How to Line a Cage.
How to Be...
I'm going to look that up again, because I already forgot. The Renee Zellweger stuff, though, I just to...
It doesn't look like the same person at all. I wanted to prove that... Cut her in half and count the rings. I want to know if it's really her.
The only way that I can tell it is her is that this is a recent picture... And the pursed lips, like, I know it's far away, but, like, she has that kind of, she does this thing with her lips.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was like, she has no cheeks. And her forehead got bigger. Like, there's.
It's very weird to me.
It's not pretty, I don't think.
And Aaron from L.A. brings up the Jennifer,
Gray?
The Jennifer Gray thing, where Jennifer Gray got what was supposed to be a slight nose job tweak, and she lost her career because nobody knew who the fuck she was. She went to audition, and people were like, you were in what? The Unexpected Virtue of in this ignorance. Thank you. Aaron and Don are right on this.
They are. Thank you, guys, because I'm not very fast.
Carl, son, are you read?
I mean... Sure.
Well, and we're trying to do your entire segment without everybody just beating the shit out of you.
I don't give a shit about the entire segment, but it's bored. Destiny versus Dynasty, the Fall Classic is here. If you were wondering, wife carrying champions have been crowned.
Oh.
Darnell Duckett runs for Mr. Congeniality, and Kobe Bryant runs for Mentor of the Year. This year it's all sports. In sports and other stuff. Yeah. That's all the headlines I got. And I said it was too fast. So here we go. Bump, bump.
Here it comes. Wait for it.
All hit you the post. Say was Ebola.
She hit the post. That's all that matters.
Doesn't matter what you say.
Ebola and my eyes are watering.
Yeah. We did things to my eyes that made my ass water.
So if you're
she just gets it. Ladies and gentlemen,
it took me a minute.
2 weeks in the burned-out version of Utah.
There it is.
I didn't know.
I'm going to listen to you.
In the event that you're a 30-something white man, you might know that the World Series began tonight. And if you're listening live, I want you to know that the Giants have won the first game of the World Series. San Francisco Giants won in Kansas City.
Wow.
I was browsing some live feeds and some commentary as the show was going on, and one gentleman tweeted that at the bottom of the seventh, the Kansas City crowd was singing a lackluster Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Uh-huh. Because at the time...
I wonder how that would go.
What's the baseball movie with Charlie Sheen? Like, that's kind of how it goes.
Oh. Yeah.
With Bobby Pearson and the drunk.
Oh, Major League.
Pretty sure. There it is. There it is.
Outside.
Yeah.
They're shitty.
Going into the bottom of the seventh, it was 7-0. So I can see why they'd be upset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
There's a
too
lot
high.
Of,
too high. What does too high mean?
There's a lot of talk about this World Series because the Kansas City Royals have not seen the big game since
daylight.
1984. Since most of their fans were born.
It has been that long. Jesus.
85, I'm sorry, 85, not 84. Yeah. 85. Yeah. 1985 was the last time they were at the big show. Yeah.
And in good news, though, if the World Series sucks, go watch Major League because that shit is still
funny.
Because
that's funny. It is funny.
That shit will stay
It'll
funny forever.
Be funny. Mm-hmm.
I'll be 100 years old. Until evident. Too high! No. Too high! What does that mean?
Next game is tomorrow night. Still in Kansas City, and then they will move to San Francisco for three games.
There's a real danger of an earthquake because it's the 25th anniversary of
the candlestick one
that I caused. Frequent listeners will remember I caused that.
Well, let's pause. And how did you cause that, Al Perkins?
Big trip. 1989, Las Vegas, Nevada. Me and my parents are in the room.
Sure.
I wanted to go and drink. They wanted to stay in the room and drink.
What a dilemma. What happened?
I pissed and moaned, and seconds later, an earthquake hit live on TV. My mother was like, you are good. I guess we're going down to the casino.
Jesus.
And that about wraps it up, folks.
My mother gave me full credit for causing an earthquake, and I believed her.
All right.
Nicely done. In case you want.
Either way, we are drinking. I don't see who loses there. Oh, the Ebola victims, of course, but we don't know them.
In case that you watch baseball for the opening entertainment, tonight, Trisha Yearwood sang the national anthem.
Huh?
Tomorrow night, the former American Idol winner, Philip Phillips, will be doing the honors.
Mm.
Once they get to San Francisco, little big town, And then for Game 4, Carlos Santana will perform an instrumental rendition of the anthem with his son.
That'll sound like every other song that Carlos Santana has ever played. He has one song. They all sound like Black Magic Woman, sung by someone else.
Yeah, there we go. Other
interesting
facts. These are Black Magic. Oh, say, can you see? And Marty's on the bongos. Yeah. I've gotten your name right every time today.
I know. What's that about?
I'm not sure.
Thank God there are more bongos. Nice. Other World Series facts that nobody gives a shit about.
I thought you were moving on to another story.
No, I love my segment. No, this is the 110th World Series. 110.
Okay.
Nice.
I don't remember all of them.
I don't either. I gave up in like 1997.
If you were a middle-aged woman, you would.
No.
But what I didn't know was that each game of the World Series has a dedication and a theme.
Mm.
I know. This is interesting stuff that I didn't know. Unbeknownst to me.
Uh-huh.
Game 1 was Veterans and Military Families Night.
Of course it was.
Uh-huh. Well done. Uh-huh. Game 2, Education and
Ebola.
And
3 is date rape.
Not the Arizona State Fair.
Education and ALS awareness. Lou Gehrig's disease. Parenthetically.
Lou Gehrig's disease. I like that she said it parenthetically.
That was
Come on.
I love parenthetically.
That is funny.
Now, what day is Where is the Dominican Republic Day?
Wait, scrolling.
Ebola victim.
Michael just left the house.
Day eight. Game eight. The fuck is the Dominican Republic? Because half our players
and
are
why
there.
Are they so good
next
at this?
To Haiti, as it turns out.
Oh, yeah, they share an
you
island.
Say be nice to Haiti?
Next.
Oh.
Like, where is...
I'm like, that's not a be nice to Haiti day.
Because they,
that's bullshit.
She's worse than the rest of us.
Oh, shut up.
They share the island of Hispaniola, and according to Pat Robertson, it's because the Dominican Republic kept their slaves, and Haiti set them free. That's why the weather's always worse in Haiti. It's because they love freedom? I'm not sure how he spins that one on the Christ Network, but he makes it work.
People Pat Robertson. Love
the El Nino Network.
Capitalized.
Game 3 of the World Series will be the Advancing the Fight Against Cancer Night.
That went the opposite way of what I was thinking.
Parenthetically on that one or no?
Parenthetically. Now also a
Betty
Ford in tradition.
Ready for Ford.
Is that Angelian Night?
Oh!
A one-hit wonder.
That's breast cancer night.
Life's really not the French Riviera.
I'm terrified to say the last one.
Go ahead. Come on.
Work it
be
out.
Be brave,
out.
Little Ebola.
Work it out. Ebola
Game
Day.
Game 4.
Yep.
Youth Outreach Night.
Clayton.
Parenthetically, Sandusky.
Yeah. It's not such a city in Ohio.
Not anymore.
Oh, winner.
Reach out and assault someone.
Well, what's that? Harrison? What? No. Not our
Harrison. Harrison is Youth Outreach.
Not our Harrison. Isn't that Chris Harrison? Isn't that the person who does
I don't even
updates?
Know your name. How would I know who Chris Harrison
the
is?
The updates about the pedophiles.
Oh, who's the guy that's chasing you all over the planet?
You're fucking high.
Oh,
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen. I was close. Damn it.
That's right here on the restraining order. His name is Chris Hansen.
Why don't you sit down for a minute?
I'm just making lemonade.
He has a tattoo right here.
We're going to dinner later.
I just had cookies done. Thanks.
Don't just sit out my...
Chris Hansen.
Don't just sit outside my house with a truck. Take me to dinner.
My parents are gone.
I grew up in one of those. Now, why aren't you going to game 4? Because of that?
Because I don't fucking care about baseball.
Yeah.
But there's a youth outreach.
Okay.
I feel like I took baseball for a really long walk right
there.
I feel like I did a good job.
Did you have to use that very long? Did you have to use that?
Somebody.
I was comparing it to a potato.
Yep. The roots of the potato.
Oh, the potato on the far right, if I recall my dream potato correctly.
Yeah, that was
a proud potato.
Yeah. Their eyes are wandering.
That was a proud potato.
It stings to my eyes. It made my ass water. It's really funny every time I say it. I can tell.
It is.
It's still funny.
I've emboldened myself through this bottle of wine.
Cheers.
Attica,
a main couple, Jesse Wall and Christina Arcedalt, won the 15th North American Wife Carrying Championship on Saturday.
Well,
if it's almost a sport, it's on El Ocho.
Oh, God.
50, count them, 50 couples raced across a 254-meter course with the women mostly clinging upside down.
Was there a cliff at the end of the run?
By the way, how much is 250 meters?
Google it. 750 feet.
That's too
bad. There's like 3 feet in a meter.
And I'm assuming
clinging upside down to the men's backs.
Oh, see, I would think that they'd be the other way.
She's got
to give
her
him
nose
momentum
in his ass.
Well, it's but crying.
He's crying.
That's the incentive for him, not for her.
250 meters is 820 feet.
Oh. He said about 750 feet. Not bad.
Too damn far away.
Girl. In charge of all math tonight, Al Perkins.
Nicely done.
I figured out because Puerto Rico. You ready for this? That lovely island of tropical diseases.
My devotion.
They sell the gas in liters. Then your roadway signs are in kilometers, but the speed limit's in
miles
per hour.
That's fun.
But you're at mile marker 6.3 kilometers.
Fuck
it is
that.
Such a fucking clusterfuck.
No, screw that. No.
Oh, and
I'd be in all kinds of trouble.
The lesbians that I work with got married. They just sent me this thing.
Oh, yay. Congratulations.
Oh.
Hashtag not Ebola.
So in other words, I was trying to make a joke. I think I'm going to fuck that up.
Yeah.
If you're looking for
comedy is hard.
Oh, it totally. It's very, very difficult.
And clearly.
And remember. Apparently. Comedy is just tragedy plus time. There's a.
Is this another math equation?
So you're looking for a guy that's got about 266 millimeters.
Atta girl.
Ooh, got a 266.
Somebody walks up to me and says, "I'm 183 centimeters." I'm like, "You climb on board, baby."
Backwards.
You come right over here and lay on top of me.
I'll carry.
Bring the potato.
I'm going to get my body temperature up to a nice 38.6, and we're going to do it.
Good Lord.
I can be dirty and metric.
I'm not even sure where to go from here.
I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'll just pretend none of that happened.
Yeah,
50 couples raced along at 250.
Still on there.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, work it out.
I can't.
I like it.
Yeah, you can. You can do it.
254-meter course with the women mostly clinging upside down to the men's backs. The race, which originated in Finland, is intended to evoke the spirit of a legendary Finnish brigand.
Okay, you just left the English language there for a minute.
Finnish brigand?
Show me two fingers. I need to do a neuro check. There's something. Okay, you're good. Because you're...
You don't know what a brigand is?
I got nothing.
Oh.
Bringing your wife over here.
Bringing your wife
you're
over the finish line by the ass?
He's a swarthy gentleman, a bit of a rogue.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Pirates, brigands, and thieves.
Oh.
He's a bad guy.
That's fair.
Oh, we're talking like a pirate?
Damn thieves. Yeah. What's the matter with your face, kid?
God. I don't know.
Do we have thoughtful vulgarity cues? Is it time?
No, it's not time. Either. No, I have nothing. You got to keep going.
You got to keep going.
You got to be a riggered.
God damn it.
We don't like quitters on this show.
No.
All right.
Damn it.
Work it out.
All right. Anyway.
Two lesbians walk into a
sports
section.
The legendary Finnish brigand made those who wanted to join his gang run through a forest carrying heavy sacks on their backs.
Representing heavy sacks will be all the women.
That's what we're calling
them. We have called women every bad name.
Right. But yet they hold him up.
Heavy sacks.
I say tarred twice in a show and I'm evil, but this one called a woman a heavy sack and this one called them fat ladies.
Why were they heavy sacks of the things to make them carry? Yeah.
Heaviness.
Heaviness.
Heaviness. Giant sacks of heaviness.
They were potatoes.
Oh, Christ.
It's a good contraceptive.
I feel like there's going to be a window licker in this story.
In the modern
That's
version.
That's how they get her out of the ass crack. That noise.
Oh, God.
Couples race along a track, tackling mud, a pool, and hurdles. According to the organizers.
Hurdles. No. Marge, hang on.
We're about to tackle a pool. I don't know how it's going to go, but get ready. Brace yourself. Stick your nose all the way in my ass.
Hold on!
We're going in aerodynamically correct.
Houston?
We got an ass crack. All right.
I hope the water's not above their waist.
You're not sorry, and this is hilarious to me. I just need to rethink the stories that I bring.
They're perfect stories.
Yeah, it was.
I hope the water...
If the water's more than waist deep, honey, you're screwed. You're going to keep going into
it. Are you okay back there?
She's already got her nose up his ass. Like, what are you going to do?
Nothing but fresh air up there.
You're running through it. Her nose is just taking it like a snorkel. Just like running through it.
We're about to tackle a pool, ladies and gentlemen. Watch how this goes.
I'm happy to be a contributor to this show. According to organizers.
Oh, you're still going?
Yeah.
We haven't talked out of this
yet. We haven't got to the end of the race yet.
Last sentence.
No finish line yet.
All right, Silas, we
right. Ebola got me drunk. It's
last,
not my fault.
Last sentence. All
right.
According to organizers, most wives were volunteers.
All right.
They were surrogates. They weren't even really wives.
Most.
Wait.
No. The couple that were political prisoners have something to say once they tackled the pool.
This is against my will.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. I did not volunteer for...
How many meters left? I don't know. I don't know the metric system. All I can smell is your ass.
I'm going to die because I can't convert English to metric.
Fucking Jimmy Carter.
Where do we need to go? Fucking Jimmy Carter. That's so funny.
Oh, my God. Had he only.
Had he only just been a little bit more assertive.
He'd have pushed a little harder for that metric.
I'm not even sure what to do next.
Keep going.
Work it out.
Did you push on? You got 400 meters left.
I'm done with sports. I'm moving on to other stuff. Did you guys hear about the Hitching Post Wedding Chapel in Idaho this week?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, this is fun. And other stuff, so maybe it'll be...
Was everybody
I had a good time with the brigand.
Was everybody wanting to be a
brigand.
Part of it?
Brigand.
No. Brigand.
Was everybody a volunteer?
In this story? The wives?
Yeah.
Something.
That's a good follow-up question. What part was in quotation marks?
The wives was the parentheses.
Oh, I thought volunteer.
No. Oh, my wives.
Oh, some of them were just girlfriends. That's a shit end of that stick.
So in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where gay marriage is now legal, there is a wedding chapel called the Hitching Post.
Well, of course there is.
Who have vowed to shut down rather than perform gay marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that working out?
So they are suing the city of Coeur d'Alene.
Miss Coeur d'Alene?
No. Totally different.
Totally different. Ebola.
Okay. Still lesbian.
As it turns out, the city of Coeur d'Alene in June of 2013 passed a anti-discrimination ordinance saying that you can't discriminate, your customers based on sexual orientation, LGBTQX, whatever.
Right. Pick a letter.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And so now this Hitching Post wedding chapel is suing the city of Coeur d'Alene, citing religious beliefs and that they shouldn't be forced to perform gay marriages. So that's going to be very interesting to watch.
But how quickly did they back down from the, we're going to close. Oh, no, now they just want to fight and be bitches about it. Close. Fuck you.
Right. Well, so far they've turned away two couples trying to get married at their wonderful establishment.
Who are these fucking tards? Because when someone says, we don't want to marry gay people, why do you show up at their door?
Why do you want to be
here? Like, walk down the street and find
the cake?
Find Maria Reiner from...
But here's the actual...
Who the fuck is Maria Reiner?
I know, but she lives somewhere in the state she's talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Okay.
Here's the actual issue, though. The Hitching Post is not a religious organization.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they are part of the Better Business Bureau. They're a registered...
Right, so then you have to follow the
laws. ABC. So what happened was, like, some homos rolled up and were like, hey, we're ready to get married. And they said no, and so they've been reported
City,
and the city...
The city sanctions
people that violate the ordinance.
Right.
They slap a fine on them and go on, and so that's where the lawsuit's coming in.
Before they tackle the pool.
Right.
Slap a fine on you, bitch.
That's right. Patty Hearst.
The wives...
I just got to say, Wyoming, grow the fuck up and take Idaho with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's six of you in that state. Figure it out.
Right.
Have a meeting. They have
support. Where is this story? Where is it now? What's it? Are they in limbo with court? What's the deal?
They are headed to court, with the Hitching Post, asserting that they have the religious right
But they weren't religious until yesterday.
Right. They were not Hobby Lobby.
We only got religious when the president got black.
They are a for-profit, last-minute marriage factory.
Yep.
Yeah.
That happens to be right across the street. So they, they're making a big deal of it.
But it happened to be something that I thought.
What's right across the street from them?
They're right across the street from where you can get your marriage license.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got it. So you can.
County court or whatever.
Right.
One stop shopping almost.
Yes. Uh-huh. I got my license and over here. I'm going to marry the bitch over here and I grew up on the corner.
For them up until then.
At the tire shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they have fundamental beliefs again. So I'm hoping that their case gets overturned and that things go on and that they lose their fucking business. Fucking bastards.
Yeah, and that's like Harrison says. That's what I say about Vegas. And my thing is, as soon as New York went all gay marriage, I'm like, Niagara Falls, open your fucking doors. You're a failing city.
Right.
Tell people, we're the rainbow county. We have rainbows in every picture, whether you want it or not. Because we can't help it.
Right.
We got rainbows coming out our asses here. And literally.
Both Harrison.
Put tears in my eyes.
Both Harrison and Laura are right. I mean, let them keep piling up pine. Or piling up pines.
Oh, that's a really fun idea.
Yeah.
That's a really fun idea.
But now the lineup. I think it's the couple in Oregon that have the hate cakes.
Yes.
I want to say that that gay people are now contributing to their thing to make them... to make them feel even worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're supporting them so that they can't file bankruptcy because the gays are closing them down. So the gay people have started a GoFundMe or Kickstarter campaign to keep them open so that they can't keep saying that. I think it's the Oregon gay, but it's just like one of those hate cake places. But
I like that. That's a lovely. Oh, you half shod man. I think that's a funny story.
Keep
them alive so that they can't bitch.
And it's a Kickstarter campaign started by gays so that they can to shut that shit down. So they should do that with the Hissing Post. Like, here's our we'll give you $50 since you're not going to marry us, but just remember we gave you $50.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cash that check, bitch.
Very fun.
Okay. I think somebody next door should open up, Hitching Post 2. And
I'm going to rub my white monkey bowl of ass all over
you. Just call
you.
It the gay post.
Hitching Post 2. I'm the gay post.
I think I don't want to hear the phrase white monkey bowl of ass ever again.
You said it yourself.
Yeah, maybe
I'm
going
to say it three times so I'm on ABC at 10 o'clock.
They wouldn't call it the... They wouldn't call it the Hitching Post. They just call it the pole.
The pole. That's right. I like it.
I got married at the pole.
Work it out. Doesn't sound bad.
Allegedly, the wives.
All of a sudden, I'm bored of
all volunteers.
Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you, let's just go back one more time to these gays that are getting married in the spur of the moment.
Seriously. Sweetheart,
I've been through some of your breakups.
True.
Oh, bad.
It was
bad
enough when you met.
It was bad enough that you called me. Now you gotta call a lawyer. And you know what? I do this shit for free in one vodka. Those fuckers are going to charge
one
vodka money.
You are way underpriced.
Seriously.
Well, I drink a big glass of vodka.
Yeah. Okay.
By one vodka, I mean the bottle.
You mean a liter?
Yeah.
My God.
All right, good.
I was told there'd be no more metrics.
One case of vodka.
Lord almighty.
I had to go pee while you think about your answers to my question.
What was your question?
We don't have a question yet.
You can think about that, sir.
Wait, I have a knock-knock joke and you have to start. Marnie, go.
Who's
there?
Al's laughing from
the
loo.
Other room, Al got it.
Yeah, that was a good joke.
Al's on the hopper,
My
and he's laughing about it.
Goodness.
Come on, you have to have something else.
All right, I'll have something else.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant, you said something earlier.
I did say Kobe Bryant. Right. That's what I'm going to read right now.
Oh, all
right.
Yeah, I'm going to have another Pop-Tart.
Go have a Pop-Tart.
Andy walks away.
It's
you're right,
Pop-Tart.
I'm not leaving. I'm right here.
No.
We have a toaster in studio. It's handy.
Yeah.
So NBA is in preseason and exhibition right now. So we're getting ready to start seeing some NBA games.
And you're talking about Kobe Bryant, who's an exhibitionist.
Yes.
In many ways. At least in Colorado, from what I remember.
Sure. There was a thing.
Yep.
But Kobe Bryant has taken it upon himself to mentor their rookie Julius Randle. And Randle was benched after halftime of Sunday's game against the Utah Jazz. Coach Byron Scott said after the game that he didn't think Randle was playing as hard as he could. So the words of wisdom coming from Kobe Bryant are, you fuck this up, you're really a big idiot. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
mentor
he's good.
Of the year. I feel like that's some inspirational, motivational shit going on right there.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant, because I wasn't going to ass rape me to give me my motivational speeches.
And they give you a big ring.
Yeah. I really
there better be.
I want to be.
Fate, my dear, has pluses and minuses.
The next time I'm like the new guy.
You're making me cry. No.
You're doing things to my eyes that make my ass water.
Stop eating eating those chips.
Still funny. Ooh.
Stop eating those chips.
It's all about the analytics. Yeah.
I feel like there should be some kind of like humanitarian award though for the ass advice leakage? Of ass leakage and you fuck this up, you're a really big idiot. Yeah. Like this is the advice that I'm going to start imparting on young people.
I think it's a good idea.
Can I get a shirt with that?
Yeah. You fuck this up, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a printer and an iron, so I'm pretty sure I can make that happen.
We can I know work people. That out. I like it.
And we'll put, we'll put it on the back of the shirt you wanted earlier.
Oh.
That, tell me how easy. What was the shirt you wanted earlier?
I believe it just said easy.
No.
Right under where it says my name is. Hello,
no,
my name
you
is.
You wanted a shirt earlier
something
in the show.
My ass waters. Easy entry.
Yes.
No, we got to listen back. If people that are listening, what is it that I said? I did want a t-shirt or something.
You want a shirt with something. I don't remember what
oh,
you
they'll was. Probably know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But I do have to say, my dad's two favorite expressions. One day I want them as a t-shirt. One was, you're so stupid you could fuck up a one-car funeral. Always made me laugh. And sometimes it was directed at me and I'd still giggle. Because you had to appreciate the artfulness of the comment.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the other one that turns out my sister didn't understand until like years after he was dead was, I'm busier than a cat cover and shit in a windstorm. And one day, we're like walking through a grocery store and she saw like a picture of a cat on the kitty litter and all of a sudden she starts laughing and I'm like, what are you laughing at? She's like, I just got it. I'm like, what did you just get? She's like, I just got the thing about the cat cover and shit in a windstorm. I'm like, all these years later, you never thought to ask what it meant? She's like, nope, didn't.
Did she laugh each time?
Yeah, because it sounds funny. It sounds but funny, she never but had the visual of the cat trying to cover its chin in a windstorm.
What? Yeah.
And I don't know. I've never known to be stole that from someone else, but that's a funny thing to say.
Is that burning?
Busier than I
no, eat. They're puffed up. They're good.
They smell delightful.
Delicious. Oh, my God.
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. I'm hoping one comes my way.
I wouldn't be mad.
Now, remember, toaster pastries are known for being the temperature of the sun.
I wouldn't be mad.
Molten lava on the inside.
We'll make more.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
Very good.
Toaster people are standing by.
Thank you.
We're making Pop-Tarts, boys and girls.
I believe that is virtually all I can stand in sports. And other stuff.
Good. I like it.
Well, then,
I like it. We're ready.
Okay.
So play the crossover.
So, we're not. Oh, we're not there.
No, we're not crossing over.
I'm
still alive, bitch.
And now.
Ebola.
What?
What's happening?
I smell smoke.
You do not. I don't know why you think you smell so.
I smell that's what Don says.
Oh.
I smell toast.
I smell toast.
I know. Don has. Does anyone else smell smoke?
You're stupid. No. But we will do this because we can, and it's time, and all
it's
the other
time.
Shit. Where's
it's
my.
Time.
Where's my. Job. Where's my thing? Where's my. Where is it? Where is what I want?
You
thoughtful.
Should know where you're thinking.
Well, sometimes I lose it.
Oh, can I say a funny thing happened in Miami?
Yes.
Oh, bienvenidos a Miami. So I'm standing there in the Miami, getting my metric system on.
Attaboy, Will Smith.
Yeah. I had because I decided when I got to Miami that I had to do something in the spirit of Dexter, and I decided not to kill somebody.
Good wife choice.
I went and had a Cuban sandwich at a local restaurant.
As you
is that
do.
A metaphor?
I wish it was.
The sure. wives.
Because I would have liked to make a Cuban's eyes water, let me tell you.
Something.
Oh, my goodness. They're not kidding. And then they do an egg, same sandwich, but with egg bread, and it's a media noche, which is what Moons Over Miami is based on. It's Cuban, it's a poor man's take on the Cuban sandwich. Oh, my God. It is fucking spectacular with Cuban french fries, which have some kind of, like, special sauce or... Oh, I don't know what the fuck was on there. Served by a lovely Cuban man with an accent.
$24.95.
Different than Puerto Ricans. Just lovely. Great ass. Again, they're all like goat herders or something because their asses are fucking spectacular.
See, Michael? You know what I'm talking about?
No, but he's Hispaniola. He's isn't he Dominican?
Dominican.
DR.
Mm-hmm. Right, another island. And now we learned
he calls it the DR all the time.
We learned the Lesser Antilles from the Greater Antilles.
Oh.
He's from the Lesser Antilles.
Don't tell him that.
They still have great asses.
Oh, I'm just saying.
The Antilles does not mean asses.
No, the lesser that. Part. Yeah. Like, can we not say that?
No. But it's the size. It's the size of your Antilles. But anyway, oh my
you
God, that Cuban sandwich.
Antilles,
and I didn't have to stab anybody in the neck or chop them up and throw them in the ocean to be like Dexter. It was very exciting for the people of Miami mostly.
Reassuring.
Yeah, mostly. mostly for the non-victims.
We have, Al, if you want to there's another one ready for you now. We just got to go. All right, let's move on. It's Thoughtful
Vulgarity.
Jesus. Thoughtful Vulgarity goes something like this.
Oh, wait, what is... Oh, here.
Who would put butter on
Pop-Tart? And what? Now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, that? Where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Oh my God! It's so hot! So hot!
Pop, are your eyes watering?
Pop, pop, dark! Pop, pop, dark!
And these are strawberry.
Can't tell, it tastes like fire! They make your eyes and your ass water.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And there's not a cute ABC star anywhere to be found. Well, both are leaking.
Oh, fuck, that was great. All right.
Mini driver.
What?
That's a person.
How did I become mini driver now?
Oh, I thought that was the question.
My mouth made all the same noises as your name. Right?
No, not really.
Well, there's
you've
an
been
end
working
there.
On that for a week.
There's no, well, oh, there's an end in my name.
Because my mouth was on fire.
Been, my first name, but not my last name.
You've been saving that. I can tell.
No. Brand new.
same song.
Same song.
Totally right. Different.
So what is it in the world? And please, everybody in the chat room, tell us while my mouth burns down like the nuclear winter that happens in Utah when they find out it's pretty.
Well, slow the fuck down and let it cool off a minute.
I can't!
Yeah, you can always stop eating the goddamn thing until it cools off.
I took it out of the Pop-Tart by my mouth. Doesn't that say something? No, the toaster.
Huh? I'm like, what the fuck?
I pulled your Pop-Tart out by my mouth. With my mouth.
Bitch.
Fucking Ebola.
That's right.
Pop-Tarts and wine, not as delicious as it sounds on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is the burning flesh. So what is the thing that just sends you from being like kind of sarcastic and having a little fun to just straight up bitch? Like what
Ebola?
Is
Ebola?
Right, that too.
Yep.
But what is the circumstance or the like the environmental factor that just changes the whole tide? They're like, we're not fucking around. I'm going to kill you in a conversation.
Ooh, wow.
So we're having fun and then all of a sudden we're not, and yeah. It's because.
You just disrespected
somebody that I love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now that's not funny anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless I love them, but I think it's funny.
Yeah.
That's totally different, but I mean, I'm saying, like, for real.
What a way to back out of that.
Unless I said it first.
But for real.
Well, I love her, but she's a cunt.
That's exactly right. And I'll be like, but you don't know her, though. See, right? Uh-uh. Then
next time somebody shows a potato up there, I hope I got my hand
absolutely.
On it.
Absolutely. I hope I can grab you by the roots.
Wow.
Ebola.
Luckily, this drinking game continues to CNN International, CNN Local, and CNN America.
I didn't even have to play the breaking news sounder once.
Anyway, so there's that.
All right.
Dan,
there you go.
Yep.
Kitty Carlisle.
I feel like when you stop being funny and start being mean, then I'm just going to be meaner. Because here's the thing, I'm probably just going to play to win. If we're playing the funny game, I'm going to play to be funniest. When you get shitty, I'm going to be shittiest.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good follow-up question.
No, I feel like
sure.
I feel like that's when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you still going to do it in a sarcastic way?
Clearly.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mine will go along with Aaron from LA just posted in the chat room. People who know that something is wrong, factually know that it's wrong, but decide to believe what they want anyhow. Mm-hmm. And to go along with that and kind of what you said, Kat, if I know and I oftentimes back out of a conversation because it's not worth mm-hmm. me getting, though I, because you know, there's amazing ways to look things up, you know, modern day technology. And I love getting in arguments with somebody when they're like, oh, my God, no, it was whatever year or it was whatever right. day. It was something or they're completely wrong with it. And I will go to the ends of the earth to prove that the fact that they were trying to preach about is completely wrong.
Sure.
And especially when it's Google.com
yeah.
on the thing that's yeah. either up your ass or in your hand.
Right. It's
only
easy.
There was a way. Yeah. Only there was a device.
No, that drives that me crazy when somebody's right. just so hell-bent on something.
And I was just in a conversation recently with Shane, where he was like, no, this is the song lyric. And I'm like, I don't think so. Because I've sang it at karaoke. I've mm-hmm. sang it at fundraisers. I sang it in public. I sang along with the records. Like,
maybe that's a new lyric. And he was like, no, it says it right here. I'm like, honest to God, somebody should have corrected. At this point, 14 years later, somebody should have given me the real lyric.
He was not
right?
saying wrapped
was,
up like
he
a
was
dude.
Absolutely
like, they're not
right.
saying that.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, I sang this at a fundraiser with a piano player.
And nobody said a word.
And nobody said a word. Like, they listened to me mumble my way through that
now,
line.
Now, wasn't the Japanese version?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It was
good call on that.
It was somebody who was like, I can't believe you argued with me. I'm like, well, I have to stand up for it because no one ever corrected me, and
oh,
I sang
sure.
this for money in front of people.
Big O Jed left the light on.
Yeah. I'm not talking about your linen.
Hold me close, no. Tony Danza.
I sing that one on purpose.
Totally, yeah. It's a good call.
You? You, Al?
I was going for something completely different with this question, but I like all your answers. Mine is when I get hungry and I say I'm hungry, the world stops. Because usually I'm like...
So you're a pregnant woman.
We'll eat when we eat, or we'll do what we gotta do. But when I say
your errand,
it's time to eat.
Not a pregnant woman. I don't.
No, it's time to eat.
Okay.
If I have, because usually I'm like, when we get there, when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dinner would be nice, but I don't really care. But if I tell you like I'm hungry and I have to eat now,
mm-hmm.
that game's fucking over, and you're gonna get the nasty, cunty, Ebola-filled version of me that's coming right down the pipe. And it's the weirdest thing, and I noticed it this week too. Like, everybody's like, I'm starving. I'm like, oh, we just ate like 15 minutes ago. I'm sure we're going to be fine.
Right.
But it was time for me to say, I'm starving, and I was getting nasty. I'm like, I was just getting meaner and meaner sure. and meaner. I'm like, no, you got to find me fucking food, and we got to have a plan real soon.
I don't know what that.
All right,
I'm
so,
usually like totally laid back about stuff, but for that, then I'd be like, okay, I wasn't. I'm not joking.
Yeah, I'm not joking. Like, yeah. I do, so now you had something I wanted to do a follow up question. What was your answer? Tell me your answer.
Again.
My answer was that I'm in it to win it. So when you get shitty, I get shittier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's a good one. And I have a set
You're
answer
welcome.
For this one. I have 7 minutes. So what is your when someone picks something? When someone just decides they're like your mortal enemy, your nemesis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the point that you pick the fight or walk away? Like, where's the point where you're like...
When I'm not having fun with it anymore. If I'm just fucking with them at that point, if I'm
no,
not having
I
fun anymore.
Wait, we all know when you're going to walk away, but when do you stay and, like, fight the battle? Like what is it in the conversation that makes you say, oh, no, foot down, we're going. We're going full on West Side Story dance on a rooftop.
I feel like it's taking too long, so I'm going to say Chili Cook-Off 2004.
I mean, we can say some more West Side Story while you...
No, whenever I feel like I'm taking too long anymore, that's just where I go.
What do you dig your heels in for?
Yeah.
If they are just saying something so ignorant, that I guess it's a flip of a coin because of my mood. At that point, I mean, if I'm understanding
yeah.
what you're saying
yeah.
correctly, because if I'm in the mood to just be like, oh, come on, we're going to have fun now, then I'm going to go because you just said something so fucking stupid that it will just be fun to disprove it
mm-hmm.
without Google or without this or without that, just to really verbally insult the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But if, I don't know, I mean, again, it depends on my mood, because if otherwise, if
there
you
are
say
those,
something that ignorant,
there are
then
those
I gotta
times,
be like,
though, right?
Oh, totally.
Okay, that's
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, I could see that.
And like, feel free to elaborate, since it's kind of your question.
Certainly. I think some of it's just, like, spur of the moment and just circumstantial. Because sometimes, in a really weird way, it's very fun for me to see you pissed off.
Yeah.
You know? Like... I swear to God, I'm going to get shot one of these days in traffic. Because I look at people and they're like all kinds of angry. And I just look at them and I'm like, calm down. And then they come out of their seat. Like they come fucking.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Yeah.
Don't you tell me. I almost got killed in like a bar parking lot just this last week because of that very same thing. Because I was like, calm down. And this guy was like out of hand and out of his seat. And
like, we're going to go to blows over how high his toaster Pop-Tart setting is.
Right.
It's too high.
Too high.
Too high.
But I realized the first batch was fine, but the second batch was too much because it was already
you
preheated.
You wanted to get there faster. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I turned it. It was at 5. I turned
somebody,
it down to 4.
Somebody was a little like fast uh-huh. on the trigger there for the Pop-Tart.
Uh-huh. I turned it down to 4.
There we
calm
go.
The fuck down, Ebola bitch.
Ebola bitch.
I feel like if someone's going to go to DEFCON 4 like immediately, then it's just fun for me, and I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Laura,
to watch, to
yeah,
watch the
because I'm
going to
watch your face explode and just laugh the whole time. But, you know, to, like, really get angry and stick my heels in, it has to be something that I really care about
mm-hmm.
and something that I really know about and something that
sure.
I'm really dedicated to making sure that you know.
Yeah.
I run into a situation with clients often where they, it's that entitlement they, I guess they have. I do realize that we are a, you know, we're a point of sale company and we're facilitating their sales and doing things well. There's nothing within any of our contract that says never ever in all of life will you ever go down. Like your system will never.
No, no, right, right, right.
So
shit's gonna go down.
So yeah. when
you've had cable, right?
When something happens, right. When their internet is down, when something happens, and then they all get real snippy with me about how, well, you have to fix this. Well, I'm not exactly sure how I'm gonna fix it because your internet's down. Or, you know, there's something that comes up with that. That always, it's funny to me how they all get all on it. And I the calm down was one, and it got. I didn't have to help that customer for a couple of years because they got really, really pissed and said that they would never work with me again. But
that's the best feeling in the world.
But
deal.
But it's
I love the offer. Oh, olive bread, sure. Oh, yeah. Never but, they're gonna
but,
like it.
But that has come around, and it's amazing how this specific client has been nothing but butterflies and rainbows ever since. Shit. Because I'm the one who fixes this.
I have to sign
shit.
Up for that program where stuff flies out of my ass besides the leakage from the.
But I always like when they're trying to be that, you know, everything and they come to me and I'm like. Anybody die? Anybody gonna die?
Yeah.
Then just calm down.
Settle the fuck down.
I need an accurate body count before we proceed.
How many cadavers are in the bar at this point? Not customers. Not your day drinkers.
Well, Laura, we miss you too, and we're gonna get up there. The plan A to get up there too fell through, but we're coming up again.
Without Ebola.
If I'm not on the road to hell, I'm not driving right. I like that. And I like Harrison's willful ignorance irks me. I'm going to, she's going to say bullies. She was at Staples the other day. And, oh, I thought Staples Center, but she meant the store they sell Staples. The other day, and the manager was bullying his employee, and I bitched him up and down.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That a girl.
I'd like to hear the rest of that story when we see you next time, Harrison.
Yeah, love that'd be fun. Is it my turn?
It is. We're going to wrap this up.
Mine is a little bit of a personal, like, evolution story. Because I used to take everything as, like, if you threw the opening salvo, I just went to DEFCON 4 and shot it down. Like, I shot down your plane. I took out your Air Force. You're just going to die.
And here I am sitting in my car going, settle down.
No, settle down I could have said. But if you decided to escalate even slightly, then I'm going to go for the... Like, mine was...
Jugular.
Especially in relationships, then I went right to kill shot. Because I don't want to fight with you. So I'm just going to humiliate you and kill you and destroy you. And we're going to move on.
Boom,
right, one
done.
Hit down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I've come along... I think I've come a long way with that of letting people, like, go ahead, argue for a little while. Let's talk it out.
Give them rope to hang themselves.
I'm still right, but
then
we'll
we're
going to
pull it in, right?
Because the thing is like we're 2 seconds away from Googling it on our phone, so and it really does end a lot. Like we just have to Google it. Show me. As soon as you show me on Google, I will immediately back down and be like, okay, then
you're right.
I didn't know something.
No.
But if you're going to start something and you want to fight and he and I have a common boyfriend in common that was always like looking for a fight, and I'm like, listen, bitch. Yeah. Or if you decide you're going to be a little bit bitchy to me, I'm way better at that than you are.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like, I don't care who you are. I've been practicing this skill for a while. I got this skill honed.
And odds are the best part is I'm not as invested as you are. So
Then you get there. Because they get all worked up, and then they do get invested in it.
Because I stopped liking you about 10 minutes ago, so I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, I don't care. Yeah. I can just
I'm throwing the microphone down. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hurt your feelings? Meh.
Well, here goes more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then here comes the rest of the Ebola.
Wait for another 5 minutes. I'm going to make you cry.
Yeah.
Oh, you
but
think I didn't
I
care
really,
now.
I really have started to like, let people have their little moments of glory and, like, all right, we'll Google it later and we'll see who's right. But if you in any way think you're going for a kill shot, I win.
Well, and if there's just somebody sitting in front of you that's dumb as a fucking brick, sometimes you just walk away.
Well, if you are as dumb as a fucking brick, be sure to join us next Tuesday. We are here from 7 to 10 Phoenix time every Tuesday.
Thank you, everybody, in the chat room.
Yes.
Brian and Drew and Tomo and Tyler was here and Harrison
all
and Laura.
We will be back next Tuesday night with all kinds of other topics to talk about. And maybe Kat Carlson will get through an entire segment without us interrupting her. But until then, we will see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.